ేవాయాం ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయాం ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయాం సంసారసాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్. శ్రీమల్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వన్నో యదప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆదికవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయా. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమల్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవదం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయా తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోన్నం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణు కొనిదాతృదానెందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిం నా కణికాభి కాపి గాభీం. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయం అతి సుందరమందహాసం వాతాలయేషమనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణం శ్యామళోయం కుమారగ వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమాం. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపా తమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. Govinda Govinda. We were discussing from the continuation of the Lunar dynasty mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This 9th canto has some very, very interesting things to remember, because it is in this 9th canto where you find a complete dynasty of kings coming one after the other, both solar as well as the lunar. Now, why it is so interesting is that you will notice one important thing. Sukadeva Goswami has taken special care to mention the important kings of these dynasties in the 9th canto. He has not put everybody there. He has only selected the few whom he thought is interesting to Parikshit to know. But at the same time, you will also notice all these Kshatriya kings, they were of a different class altogether, in the sense that as far as their material life is concerned, they were not short of anything in this world. Every single one of them, you will notice there, especially those who are mentioned specifically there, their material life was such that they have not left out anything in this world. As far as their material happiness is concerned, they were even willing to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there as well while ruling in this planet. They were capable of doing such things. And they did all that, and at the end of all their life, they became detached to material world, and they went to the forest, practiced Krishna consciousness, and went back to the spiritual world. This is the most interesting thing. We also do the same thing. We do only the first part. When it comes to the second part, we don't know what to do about it. We think that the first part is everything. And the same thing happened to these kings also. All these important kings, we are discussing about Puriravas, later on comes Ayadi, and so on and so forth. So many of them, they were so expert in material enjoyment, and they played with material nature like fire. They played with it so strongly that at one point they realized that this material life is dangerous. They came to that conclusion. And this one point, Sukadeva Goswami is again and again bringing out through these different kings in the 9th canto. And that is what it makes it interesting. And that is where you will notice the difference between the modern world or the civilization, the modern times where we are involved or we are participating in that we think that material life is happiness and we get absorbed in the material life and we miss the other side of their life, which the kings did. They were at the right time, they were able to give up their King Bharata, for example, and so many others also. They all had this one nature in them, that solar dynasty as well as lunar dynasty, you will notice the same thing, that they will go with the material life to such an extent, at the end they will become detached and renounced, and then they will go to the forest. And not only they will go to the forest, and in the forest they will cultivate Krishna consciousness to such levels that they don't come back to this material world again. This is why one of the reasons mentioned, that when Krishna appeared in the lunar dynasty, it was already guaranteed that most of the people who came before Krishna had all these great qualities in them. And these qualities made others also to understand that they were not ordinary people. These kings who came before Krishna, they were not ordinary people. They were not ordinary kings. And some of their activities were so difficult to understand for ordinary people, because their realization and renunciation at the moment, at the point when it was necessary, was so good. We were discussing from one story, the story of Parashuram. That is where we stopped last Sunday. That Parashuram, the another incarnation, Amshavadaram he is, of Krishna, was born from Jamadagni and Renuka. So Satyavati, who was the daughter of Gadi, she had this son, Jamadagni. Actually, it should have been a Kshatriya because of the exchange in the offered ghee, what she has exchanged with her mother. So strictly speaking, it should have been a Kshatriya, Kshatriya boy. But instead of a Kshatriya boy, Satyavati mentioned this to Hrishika or Aurva, the sage, and Hrishika said, there is nothing much I can do. All I can do is that you will have a Brahmana boy as a son, but the son born from that Brahmana boy will be Kshatriya in nature. So that is why we find Jamadagni was born from Satyavati, who was by nature Brahminical, or in other words, saintly nature. But the boy who born from Jamadagni became a Kshatriya, who was Parashuram. On the other hand, Satyavati's mother, who also received the same ghee was offered to her as well by Hrishika, Hrishika Muni. And strictly speaking, she was hoping to have actually a Kshatriya son, because her husband, Gadhi, was a king and they belonged to the Kshatriya race, and all these Kshatriyas wanted to have another Kshatriya son. But what has happened was Satyavati's mother, because she took the ghee offered by Hrishika to have a Brahmana boy, that has gone to her, and the result was that the boy who was born from Satyavati's mother, or Satyavati's, who is going to be Satyavati's brother, happened to be by birth a Kshatriya, but by nature with Brahminical qualities. And that is who is Vishwamitra. That is why Vishwamitra became, otherwise there were so many thousands of kings in this world at that time. So many big personalities were there. But normally the Kshatriya tendencies were not coming forth in the Brahmanas. But here you find Vishwamitra by birth, he was actually a Kshatriya, because father and mother were Kshatriyas. But by nature, he has changed that into a Brahminical nature. He became later on Rajarshi, and then he became a Brahmarshi and all that. So this has come due to this sage who has performed this, offered this ghee to both of them. So Parashuram was born, and Parashuram has been given a title later on, Kshatriya Kulandaka. In other words, one who is the terror to all the Kshatriyas. And that is why it makes Parashuram's story very interesting in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Normally we consider Brahmanas are very quiet people who cannot do anything. And they just sit there, they are poor, always in poverty. And we also think that they are sometimes, many people have this opinion that what these Brahmanas can do, they are not able to produce much, they are not able to do anything. So many different understanding about Brahmanas. But if you want to see a proper Brahmana, you will see that in Parashuram, when you study his story of Parashuram. Jamadagni and Renuka brought up Parashuram. How did he bring them up? First education Parashuram had from his father. Jamadagni taught him everything. Then he went to university, higher education. Where was the higher education? In Kailasam. With who? Who was the spiritual teacher? Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva was the teacher, and Parashuram goes to Lord Shiva for higher education. The student was so good, at the very end, Lord Shiva took over this axe and gave it to him, to Rama. Rama was his name at that time. So he gave this axe, Parashu, to Rama. And from then, that day onwards, he was called Parashuram. That is how the name came to him, Parashuram. Parashu means axe. So the axe was given to him, and when the education was over, Lord Shiva congratulated him for his intelligence and sent him away. And this student of Lord Shiva had also another great student, exactly like him. Probably you will know about him from Mahabharata. He is that great personality, Bhishma. Bhishma was the student of Parashuram. Parashuram was his teacher. So you can see Lord Shiva, Parashuram, and now Bhishma later on. This Bhishma, in the Mahabharata, you will notice what he did to upset his teacher, Parashuram. Amba, Ambiga and Ambaliga, the three girls of the daughters of Kashi, king of Kashi, they were abducted by Bhishma to offer to Vijitravirya in marriage. Vijitravirya was then the king who wanted to be married, and to continue the progeny of the dynasty, Bhishma should have become the king, but he took an oath not to become the king. And you will see this in the beginning of Mahabharata, this whole story. Vijitravirya was handed over, well, brought these girls, but among them Amba was very attached to attached to another king called Salya. She wanted to marry him. So Kashi, the king of Kashi, arranged for the what is known as for the the opportunity for the princess to come together and to select the husband. The choice was given to Amba to select the prince whom she wants to marry. And the prince of Salya was also expected in the assembly. But what Bhishma did, he went with the chariot and forcefully took her in the chariot and brought her back from there to Hastinapur. And when he did that, all the princes started shouting in the assembly. But Bhishma single-handedly beaten up all of them, every single one of them, and brought Amba back to the palace. And when he brought her back, Amba said to Bhishma that, "I have already committed myself to marry Salya, so you should let me go." Bhishma said, "No, you will marry, he will marry Vijayaravirya." So this issue came up, and in the palace there was a problem because Amba was refusing to agree with Bhishma. So Amba thought, "Bhishma is now responsible for my this situation, that I should have been allowed to go to Salya and marry him, but now Bhishma has put an obstruction to that." That is why later on you find Amba decided to fight with Bhishma on this issue. Amba cannot fight because she didn't have that capacity to fight, but she decided to find a way to come out of this situation. It was then that one day Amba's grandfather came that way. When he came that way, he told Amba that if you have to beat Bhishma, the only chance you have got is you should go and approach Parashuram, who is his teacher, and he is performing penances in Mahendra Mountains. So when he said that, Amba was preparing herself to go, but suddenly at one day. One of the disciples of Parashuram came to the palace. His name was Agrudavrana, another sage. He came that way. So Agrudavrana told Amba, "There is no need to go to Mahendra Mountain. Parashuram is coming here. So since he is coming here, you should see him and talk to him about this, and see what Parashuram can do. Probably he might be able to help." The Agrudavrana said this to Amba. So as expected, in a couple of days' time, Parashuram came to the palace. So when Parashuram came, our Amba went to him and told Parashuram what has happened and that he should do something about this with Bhishma. So immediately he called Bhishma. Parashuram called Bhishma and told Bhishma that Amba should be allowed to go. Bhishma said no, she should stay, because in the process of taking Amba from the palace of Kashi, from the palace of the king of Kashi, what was known as Virya Shulkam. Shulkam means to give something in relationship with receiving the bride, from receiving the girl in marriage. So Virya Shulkam means he has exhibited his valor and courage to get Amba from there. So he said there was no question of Amba going back. So Parashuram said to Bhishma, "In that case, we will fight each other and make the decision. Whoever is going to win, accordingly the Amba will act on that basis." Bhishma also said yes. So the spiritual master and the disciple decided to have a fight each other. So everything was set up, and Bhishma came there and Parashuram also came there. Now, Bhishma's mother is Mother Ganga. Ganga Devi was there. She knew that there was no chance of Bhishma winning against Parashuram, because some of the things what Bhishma knew, Bhishma hasn't taught, Parashuram knew, he hasn't taught Bhishma yet. So Ganga was very much afraid of Parashuram, and so one night she went to Bhishma and told him to surrender to Parashuram and accept defeat and agree to send Amba away from there. Bhishma won't agree. Bhishma stuck to his position, and Parashuram also stuck to his position. And then the war happened between Parashuram and Bhishma. So when this war became very serious between the two, you can see in the Mahabharata it talks about the different types of weapons they fire at each other. And they were so complex weapons that other side knew the answer to that, each one of them. And at one point, Parashuram saw that Bhishma was not willing to give up. And at that point, not out of any need to feeling defeat or anything, he called Bhishma and said to him that you carry on what you have to do. I'm going to perform my penances. I don't want to get involved in this. And he walked out from there. It was not that Parashuram was frightened of Bhishma because of the rage, but at some point in time, Parashuram felt that to fight for the purpose like Amba has created, it was not worth the while to continue and cause so much destruction in this world. Because if these two great personalities fight each other, Brahma was getting worried. Brahma was saying that probably this planet won't exist here. That you will see when you know about what Parashuram has done in this world afterwards. So Parashuram at that point, Brahma's request was there that they should give up this fight. And Parashuram said, all right, leave it now. And he walked away from there. So this is Parashuram. And so you can see what a student Bhishma was. At that point, Bhishma paid his obeisances to Parashuram. The interesting thing was, when they fought each other, they'll fight throughout the day, and in the night they were friends. They will sit together and chat each other. This was the type of way they fought each other. That the principles involved were so good, that their morals were such, that fighting as a Kshatriya, that is a duty. They will do that. But in addition to that, they did not have any, that relationship is still the Guru and Shishya, the spiritual master and the disciple. That relationship still survived. That Bhishma will take instructions from Parashurama. And Parashurama, seeing his sincerity and surrender, he always taught him further things which were beyond in this world. I mean, which was known to many other the great soldiers or the fighters, was taught to Bhishma. That is why Bhishma has become a terror in the Mahabharata war, because of this instruction from Parashuram. That's what this kept him going. So this Parashuram, when he had his education finished with Lord Shiva, he came back to Jamadagni. So Jamadagni and his wife Renuka, Parashuram's mother, and he had two more brothers who all lived together in the ashram, in the forest. So one day, it so happened that from Hehaya race, a king called Kartavirya-arjuna came. This Kartavirya-arjuna was a very powerful king who became powerful due to the mercy of Dattatreya Maharshi. Now, who is Dattatreya? Dattatreya is an incarnation of Vishnu. Now, the three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they appeared in this world in three different forms at one time. Durvasa Muni came from Lord Shiva, Dattatreya came from Vishnu, and the moon god Chandra or Soma came from Brahma. So these three appeared, and out of that Dattatreya Maharshi, who was a very powerful sage, from him the he has had so much power that he taught many things to Kartavirya-arjuna. Now, Kartavirya-arjuna's story is also very interesting. In that Hehaya race, Kartavirya-arjuna was the most powerful king. And to explain the activities of Kartavirya-arjuna, Sri Shugan has spoken certain very, very interesting things in the Bhagavatam. Like, Kartavirya-arjuna had 1,000 hands altogether, 500 on either side. So in Narmada River, Kartavirya-arjuna, along with this number of wives he had, they were all together sporting in the river. And with 1,000 hands, he was stopping the water flowing in the river. Apparently, he was so big and strong that he could able to obstruct a river even. Such a powerful person Kartavirya-arjuna was. So once he did this and playing together with the other wives in the river, in the upstream side of the river, our Ravana was camping there. Ravana has gone on a Digvijay. Digvijay means he was traveling to conquer the whole world. He was traveling everywhere. And in his journey back, he was camping there on the upstream side of this river, Narmada. So when he stopped the water flowing, the water started building up and it upset Ravana's army who was camping. And Ravana found out what was happening, and when he came to know, that it was Kartavirya Arjuna, he decided to go and kill Kartavirya Arjuna. He came to fight with Kartavirya Arjuna. So there was a big war, fight between Kartavirya Arjuna and Ravana in the Narmada river. The fight happened in the river, and Kartavirya Arjuna would not give up easily, and at one point he managed to tie Ravana together, both his hands at the back, and he tied one rope behind him. And just like, you know, people, how they play the monkeys, they take them in the street, exactly like that, Kartavirya Arjuna was holding this rope and asking Ravana, "Now you walk to the palace," he said. So he was going back to the his palace, Kartavirya Arjuna's palace, and Ravana was walking behind like a monkey with him. When they go to the palace, Kartavirya Arjuna tied him to a very big tree and told him to stand there. And just like children play with the monkey, this Kartavirya Arjuna's wives, they will come from the kitchen and offer some things to Ravana. "Ravana, now you open your mouth," they will say to him. Ravana will open one mouth. They will say, "No, open all your 10 mouths, they will say. And they will put throw things into his mouth, just like the children feed the monkeys. So it says, Shukadeva Swami says there, exactly like a monkey, he treated Ravana there. Insulted him to such an extent, ultimately Brahma had to come and release him from there. And Ravana, with fully insulted, left the scene and went to Lanka. This is Kartavirya Arjuna. This Kartavirya Arjuna, at one point, decided to come and, while traveling, he was hunting in the forest, he came to this ashram of Jamanagni. Jamanagni's ashrama, he arrived. When he came there, Parashurama wasn't there. Only Jamanagni was there, Renuka was there. And Kartavirya Arjuna was received very well by Jamadagni. Jamadagni had a cow from the heavenly planet, from the family of Surabhi. Surabhi had one Kamadhenu, you remember earlier we discussed. Vasishtha Maharshi had one called Kamadhenu from the heavenly planets. She had a sister called Sushila, who was sent by from the heavenly planets for Jamadagni. So Jamadagni kept her in the ashram, and with her help he was able to look after any guest who comes any time in a very opulent way. So Jamadagni was in the ashram, one day when Kartavirya Arjuna came, Jamadagni received him nicely, and the whole army so beautiful that Kartavirya Arjuna started thinking, where is Jamadagni gets all this opulence from? So on inquiry he found out this cow who was with Jamadagni should be taken back with Kartavirya Arjuna to the palace. When Kartavirya Arjuna raised the issue with Jamadagni, Jamadagni refused. He refused. But Kartavirya Arjuna wouldn't care. He took the cow and with him and went back to the palace. Parashuram was away from the ashram at that time. Parashuram came back. When Parashuram came back, Jamadagni told Parashuram that what has happened. Parashuram says, "Look at this look at this mentality of this Kshatriya," as he says. So he said, he went there, took his axe in the hand, and went to Kartavirya Arjuna. There was a big fight. Kartavirya Arjuna sent something like 10 Achauhinis or something, it says there. That means thousands and thousands of chariots, elephants, horses, infantry, everything. With this single-handedly, with this parashur in the hand, axe in the hand, Parashuram killed every single one of them. And he brought the... And not only that, he killed Kartavirya Arjuna also. And took the cow and brought it back to the ashram. When he brought the cow back to the ashram, Jamadagni asked him what happened. Parashuram told him, I killed Kartavirya Arjuna. I finished him, and then I brought the cow back. It was then that Jamadagni told Parashuram, what you did was not proper. Because after all, Kartavirya Arjuna was a king. Although as a Kshatriya he did mistakes, still he represents the Supreme Lord in this planet for administrative sake, and what Parashuram did was not proper. So therefore Jamadagni told Parashuram that he should observe certain penances and austerities and go on pilgrimage to some holy places. So that is when Parashuram starts his pilgrimage in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read those few verses and we have to continue that story of Parashuram further. We stopped on the 9th canto, chapter 15, verse number 10. Tadvijñāya muni prāha patmīm kaṣṭamakāraṣīm ghoro dandhara putro vrātāde brahmavittamāha prasādidā satyavadhyā bhaivam bhūdhidi bhārgavā adha tarhi bhavel pautro chamadagnistado bhaval Saja bhulsumaha punya kaushiki lokabhavani reno sudam renu gam vai chamadagniruvahayam. Satyavadi's mother, here also something important. Satyavadi's mother, who actually had Vishwamitra, and and then Satyavadi herself, she took the form of a river later, and she is known as Kaushiki. But why is this Kaushiki river so important? All these rivers are probably disappeared from this planet. We don't know where they are today. Like Saraswati River, so many rivers have disappeared. So many thousands of years time, changes are happening constantly in this planet. So this Kaushiki River is that river where, if you remember, when Parikshit Maharaj in the first canto, when he took the dead snake and put it around the neck of the sage, of the Brahmana, his son Sringi cursed Parikshit, isn't it? So before cursing, Sringi did what is known as Upasparsham. Upasparsham means before they speak something, they will chant the mantra touching the water from the river. And that water was taken from this Kaushiki River. That means, that is why Parikshit got suddenly excited when he heard this, that it was from Kaushiki River, who is actually no one else than Satyavadi, who was actually the mother of Jamadagni, from whom, who later on turned into the form of this river Kaushiki. And it was the water of Kaushiki that was used to curse him by Sringi, the Brahmana boy, because Parikshit did that. So Parikshit got again frightened. Is something else going to happen now? Seeing the whole relationship building up again with the Sringi. Sringi has already told him that within 7 days he has to leave. So that was enough for Parikshit. And Parikshit was sitting here listening from Sugriva Goswami all these stories of the 9th canto. And whenever anything in relationship with Parikshit happened, with the Sringi happened, Parikshit immediately started waking up and started listening to it seriously. Prasadida satyavatya bhaivam bhudidi bhargava adadarhi bhavel pautro jamadagnistado bhaval saja bhulsumaha punya kaushiki logabhavani reno sudam renugam vai jamadagniruvahayam tasyam vai bhargava hrishe suda vasumadadaya yaviyanjatnya edesham rama ityabhivishruda yamahur vasudevamsham haihayanam kulandagam trisaptakrutoya imam chakre nikshatriyam mahim Dushtam kshatram bhuobharam abhyammanyamanheenashal rajastamo vrtamahan bhalkhunyabhikradehasi Shri Rajovaja Kim tadam ho bhagavado rajanye ajidalmabhi kritam yenakulam mashtam kshatriyanamabhishnasham. Parikshit Maharaj is a kshatriya, isn't it? So when Sudeva Goswami told about Parashuram that this is what he has done in the that in the Trisaptakrutoya imam chakre nikshatriyam mahim, that 21 times he traveled around this planet and slaughtered every single kshatriya in this world, he said. When Parikshit heard that, he got a bit frightened, and he said to Sukadeva Goswami, Why did he do that? What has made him to act so heavily against the Kshatriyas? And that's what Shishugan is saying here. Haihayana Madhimadi Arjuna Kshatriya Rishabha Dattam Narayana Syamsham Aradhya Parikarmabhi Bahun Dashashadam Leve Durdharshatamara Adishu Avyahadendriyau Jashri Tejo Vireshobhalam. This is the description of Kartavirya Arjuna. Yogeshwaratvam Aishwaryam Gunayatrani Madaya Chachara Vyahadagadir Logeshu Pavanoyadam. This Kartavirya Arjuna was so powerful, like a wind, he was moving around in this earthly planet. Sri Ratnairavurda Kridal Revambasima Dolkada Vajayandim Sajam Vibhradurodha Saridam Bhujai Viplavidam Sushiviram Pradisroda Sari Jalehi Namrishal Dasya Tadviryam Viramani Dashanana. This is that game with Ravana and Kartavirya Arjuna together. That's what is explained. That how he controlled Viramani Dashanana. Dashanana is Ravana, who had the 10 heads and who considered himself to be very heroic. And Kartavirya Arjuna brought him to the palace. Grihido Lilaya Srinam Samaksham Krita Ilbisha Mahishmatyam Sannirudho Mukto Yena Kabiryatha. The women in the palace, they saw this funny person with 10 heads standing there. And they brought him there, tied both his hands and tied to the tree. And they were coming and offering food and everything. It says here, Mukto Yena Kabiryatha, exactly like a monkey. They were treating Ravana. Just to insult Ravana, Kartavirya Arjuna did all these things. Sa Egadadumrigayam Dibaran Vipini Vani Yadrachai Ashramabadam Jamalagneri Bhavishal Tasmai Samaradevaya Muni Arhanamaharal Sasainyamatyavahaya Havishmatyatabodhanam. Tabodhana Saviras Tatra Drishtva Almaishwaryadishayanam Tannadiyad Agnihotrayam Sabhilasha Sahaihayam. So when Kartavirya Arjuna came to the palace, to the ashram of Jamanagni, they were performing Agnihotram. Agnihotram is a sacrifice which Brahmanas perform regularly. That means the fire has to continue lighting for the whole life, generation to generation. In some families, this sacrificial fire keeps burning. And that is Agnihotram, that is the fire for Agniadhanam. That's the sacrifice they perform on every day. Agniadhanam sacrifice. So therefore Agnihotram. Sabilash Sahai Haya Havirdhani Mushedar Panaran Hartumajo Dayal Tejamahishmadim Ninu Saval Sam Krandadim Balal Adharajani Niriade Rama Ashrama Magada Shurtua Daltaste Daural Mim Chukroda Ahirivahadam. Rama was away, and when he came back, Rama Ashrama Magada, when he came back, when he heard this, Shurtua Daltaste Daural Mim, when he heard what has happened, Chukrodha Ahirivahana, just like a snake which you are supposed to put your feet by mistake on the snake, immediately it lifts its head ready to bite you. So exactly like that Rama became so agitated with this news that what Kartavirya Arjuna has come and done in the ashrama, taking this cow away from there. So, Kwaramadaya Parasham Satunam Charmagar Mogam Anvadhavada Durdarsho Mrigendre Vayudhavam. As soon as he realized that, he took his parashu, the axe in the hand, and started the journey, dressed up himself and ready to go. Tamabadandam Mrigavaryamojasam Dhanurdharam Bana Parashwathayudham Aineya Charmambiram Arkadha Mabhir Yudham Jadabirdadrashe Purim Vishan Ajodayadastiradash Rathashavatibir That 21 Akshauhinis were sent to fight Rama, and Rama has finished every single one of them. Did not give them any opportunity. Yado yado so praharal parashvato mano nilauja parajakrasodana tadastada chinnabujo rukandara nipedilurvyam hadasodavahanam drishtvasa sainyam rudira khagardhamirana jine ramakuthara sayagaihi vivakna charmadvajaja papa vigraham nipadidam haihayamabadadrusham adarjuna panjasadeshu bahubi dhaniushubhanan yugabalsa sandhade ramaya ramostrabhanam samangranistanyegadhanyushubhirachinal samam. പുനം സഹസ്തൈരവാലം മൃതേംഗ്രിമാനൽ ക്ഷിപ്രവേഗാദപിതാവധോ യുധി ഭുജാൻ കുഠാരേണ കഠോര നേമിന ചിച്ഛേദ രാമാ പ്രസഭം ത്വഹേരിവാം. രാമസ് പരശുരാംസ് ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ദർ അറ്റ് ദ ടൈം ഓഫ് ദിസ് വാർ ഇൻ കില്ലിംഗ് കാർത്തവീര്യാർജുന ആൻഡ് ഹിസ് ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ടുവേർഡ്സ് ദ ഹോൾ the kshatriyas at that time. Krittamaho shirastasya gire shringamivaharal hadey pidarigal putramaidam dudravurbhayal agnihotri mupavartya saval sambaravīraha samubethyashramam pitray parikrishtam samarpayal sogar madal kridam rama pitray bhradrubhyam evaja varnayam asadachrutva jamanagnirabhashadam. When Parashuram came back and told Jamanagni what he has done, the reaction from Jamanagni was, സ്വകർമ്മതൽകൃതം രാമ പിത്രേ ഭ്രാതൃഭ്യമേവ ച വർണയാമാസത ശ്രുത്വാ ജമദഗ്നിരഭാഷതാം രാമ രാമ മഹാബാഹോ ഭവാൻ പാപമകാരശീൽ അവധീന്നരദേവം യൽ സർവദേവമയം വൃഥാം. മൈ ഡിയർ സൺ, രാമ രാമ മഹാബാഹോ, ദാറ്റ് ഗ്ലോറിഫൈങ് പരശുരാം, ഫാദർ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു ഹിം ദാറ്റ് നോ മാറ്റർ വാട്ട് എവർ യു ഹവ് ഡൺ, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എ സിൻഫുൾ തിങ് വാട്ട് യു ഹവ് ഡൺ. Why? Because you have killed the king. that was the reaction from Jamanagni. So vayam hi brahmanastada kshamayarhanadam gada eya lokaguru deva parameshtamagalpadam kshamayarojade lakshmi brahmi sauriyatha prabha kshaminama ashubhagavam stushyade haririshwarah. That Jamanagni told Parashuram that what is important thing is that what actually pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari or Krishna, that when one restrains himself and not to get agitated with these things and act in a way that will that will show patience or tolerance, kshama, kshaminamashu bhagavam stushyade hari ishvara, that is what will please Hari, not the way violently that you have done to kill the king. So ultimately, rajyo muddha vishiktasya vadho brahmavathal guru tirtha samsevaya chamho jahyanga achyuta jedanam. Then it was decided that Parashurama should go on a pilgrimage, and Parashuram did. He went on a pilgrimage all over the country, going to various holy places. And in the next chapter, it is how the Bhagavatam is saying this particular story for one reason. That's a very important thing. That when enmity is created between one family or one society with another society, that enmity never finishes. It goes growing from one generation to another generation. What Parashurama gone and did was he killed Kartavirya Arjuna and he came back. Now, how do we expect Kartavirya Arjuna's children going to accept this? They felt that we have to take revenge because he has done this, we should also do the same thing. That's the next thing. So, not knowing who is Parashuram's, what is Parashuram's capacity is, so you can see, Kartavirya Arjuna has tied Ravana and made a lesson to everyone how powerful he is. Now here Parashuram has done this to Kartavirya Arjuna. So Kartavirya Arjuna's children are thinking that maybe we should give it a try and see how we can take revenge on Parashuram by killing his father Jamadagni. So they're now gone. When Parashuram was not in the ashramam, at one point they decided to go and kill Jamadagni. Shri Shuka Uvacham Pitrovashikshito Ramastadedi Gurunandana Samvalsaram Tirthayatram Charitva Ashramavavrajal Kradajidrenudayada Gangayam Palpamalinam Gandharvarajam Kridandam Apsaro Obhiravashyadam Vilogayandi Kridandam Udagartam Nadim Gada Homavelam Nasam Smara Kinji Chitrathaspraham കാലാത്തെയും ദവിലോക്യമുനെ ശവവിഷംഗിത ആദിത്യകുലശം തസ്തോ പുരോധായ കൃതാഞ്ജലിം. നൗ ദ സ്റ്റോറി ഈസ് ഗോൺ ടു ദി ആശ്രമം ഓഫ് ജമദഗ്നി. ജമദഗ്നി സെൻഡ് ഹിസ് വൈഫ് രേണുക ടു ബ്രിങ് വാട്ടർ ഫ്രം ദ റിവർ ഫോർ പെർഫോമിംഗ് ദി സാക്രിഫൈസസ് ഫോർ ദ ഡെയിലി അബ്ലൂഷൻസ് ആൻഡ് എവറിഥിങ്. ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ് സോ ഹാപ്പൻ ദാറ്റ് വെൻ രേണുക വെന്റ് ടു ദ റിവർ, ഷീ സോ ദയർ ദി ചാരിയറ്റ് ഓഫ് ചിത്രരഥ സ്റ്റാൻഡിംഗ് ദയർ. ചിത്രരഥ ഹസ് കം ഫ്രം ദി ഹെവൻലി പ്ലാനറ്റ്സ്. So this Renuka, Jamadagni's wife, out of curiosity, seeing the beautiful chariot parked there, kept looking at the chariot and also looked at Chitrartha, who was very beautiful from the heavenly planets they have come. Just like, in giving example, when you find if you walk in London, somewhere in Oxford Street or somewhere, sometime you will see when there is a very expensive car parked somewhere, Porsche or BMW or something like that. Sometimes people who are fond of cars, they will stand near there and look at it from all sides. So this is just the way they are. That is because in their mind, they have so much attachment for the cars. And because it's something very special, not many people may have it in London. So somebody who got interested in the car, he will look at it and start looking at every side of the car and start thinking, analyzing it in his own mind, how beautiful it looks. And he will even glorify the owner of the car, so that he saw how fortunate he is to have it. But all this is natural in this world. So this exactly the same mistake happened to our Renuga also. Renuga went to the river and saw this chariot there. And being coming from the heavenly planet, the chariot looked externally beautiful. She didn't see one like this in this planet before. So she said, taught herself and forgotten about her service to Jamadagni. So she got late and seeing the beauty of Chitradha, in her mind she thought, oh, how beautiful he looks, Chitradha. And so she got late. When she came back, she knew that she was late. She felt that she has committed an offense of not bringing the water for Jamadagni in time. Jamadagni looked at her and he understood that Renuga has deviated, or for her, he slightly doubted her chastity. She hasn't committed anything. In the mind, she has committed an offense. And that was enough for Jamadagni to punish her. So, look at the way. Today, even if you physically commit, still people escape. But in that yugam, it was such that even if mentally committed an offense, people would not escape. And the punishment was not so simple, if you read the next few verses. Vilogayandi kridandam udagartam nadim gada homa velam na sasmara kinji chitrasaspraham kalatyam da vilokyam uni shabavishangida agatya kalasham tasto purodhaya kradanjalim vibijaram nirnyatu apatnyam prakubido abravil madhainam putraga apavam ityuktaste na chakrire rama sanjodida pitra bhradran matra sahavadil prabhavatyumune samyak samadhestavajaschasam. It was at this time Parashuram came back to the scene, to the ashram. He was outside, he wasn't there at that time. So I mentioned there were two brothers Parashuram had, elder brothers. Jamadagni called them and told the eldest one, kill your mother now, right now. Cut her throat and throw it away, he said to her. The eldest boy said, you can tell me anything else except that. He said to Jamadagni. Now what's interesting here is, this Jamadagni talks about patience to everybody in the previous instances. In other Puranams mentioned how Jamadagni says, oh, necessity it is to create, to be tolerant and patient and all that. But Jamadagni could not control his anger at that time. So what did Jamadagni do? Jamadagni told the eldest boy to kill the mother, Renuga, straight away. He said, no, I can't do that. He told the second one also. Second one also said, no, I can't do that. So then he called Rama. Rama, you do this now. I'm telling you to cut your mother's throat straight away, he said. Rama took the sword, and which was the sword Rama had. And in one one stroke, he killed her straight away. And then Jamadagni told him, kill your brothers also who are useless, he said. He killed both of them straight away in one slot and paid his obeisances to his father. So the father says, Jamadagni says to Parashuram, what boon do you want? What benediction do you want now? Parashuram said to Jamadagni, please give them back life, all three of them, and also make them to forget about what has happened. In few minutes, all three of them got up and started walking freely, doing things as they were doing normally. Why? Because Parashuram knew who is Jamadagni and what his capacity was. The others didn't. This was the reason. Jamadagni's ability that he could give life and take life. So when such personalities, when they do that, you cannot find fault with them, because that is the way they are, that they have such things capacity. Now hearing this, you should not go home and take the sword in your hand, and if you are upset with your mother, finish your throat straight away. I didn't say that. It's not mentioned also in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam only says Parashuram can do that. Nobody else. Why Parashuram and Jamalagni, there were such personalities, when they did that, nothing was spoken about it. But it is mentioned in the Bhagavad for one reason, to show that Parashuram and Jamalagni were of that class of people who could do such things and still continue their spiritual life.
Rama Sanjodaya Pitra Bratran Matra Sahavadhil Prabhavatyo Muni Samyak Samadhe Estavasaschasam Varena Chanayamasa Prita Satyavadi Sutta Vavrehadanam Ramopi Jividam Chasmudim Vadim Uttatuste Kushino Nidrabhaim Ivanjasa Pitru Vidvam Stapovidyam Ramaschakre Sukhudvadam Yerjanasya Sudarajan Smaranda Subhidar Vadham Rama Virya Parabhuda Lebhire Sharmana Kwajil ഏകദാശ്രമോ രാമേ സബ്രാദരിവനം ഗതേ വൈരം സിസാദേശയോ ലബ്ധച്ഛിദ്രാമുപാഗമൻ.
When Rama went away from the ashrama once, Kartavirya Arjuna's children came there to take revenge. They were waiting for an opportunity. They came in when he was away.
ദൃഷ്ടു അഗ്നിദാരമാസീനം ആവേശിത ധിയം മുനിം ഭഗവത് ഉത്തമ ശ്ലോകേ ജഗ്നുസ്തേ പാപനിശ്ചയം.
They decided to perform this activity of killing Jamadagni and take his head away from them.
Yachyamana kripanaya Rama matra adidaruna prasahya shiram ulkritya minyuste kshatrabandhavam.
When this has happened, Rama came back. By then they were gone from the ashram. Rama came back and stood there, looked at the scene. Father sitting there without head. And mother Renuka, what did she do? She started crying, calling for Rama, Rama, Rama. She was calling, and not only she was calling him, every time she will say Rama and beat the chest once. So normally when Renuka was doing this, when she was beating the chest, Parashuram will stand there, says one. Renuka beats a second, Parashuram says two. Like this, 21 times Renuka has beat her chest, calling for names of Rama. Immediately after that, Renuka asked Rama, Parashuram, when your mother is crying, why you are counting it? This is something unusual, I haven't seen. I was only saying this, crying this, because I was feeling so much upset by killed. My husband has been killed, Jamadagni, in such a ruthless manner by the Kartavirya's children. And I was crying only for that. I could not understand why you... Every time she beat, he says, Rama, he says, one, two. When he was counting. So when it was over, Parashuram asked mother, is that finished now? And next thing he did was he took his axe and started moving in this world. And this is where Parashuram is different from others. If you read the next verses,
Renuga dukha shogartha nignam dhyatmanam alpmanam Rama Rama ehitadidi vijukrosha chagai sati tadubashrutya durasto ha Rame tyarthavalsvanam ture ashramam asadhyam tadrushe pitaram hadam tad dukkaroshamarshati shogavega vimohida ha tatha sadho dharmishta tektvasman swargado bhavan vilapya devam pidurdeham nidhaya bradrusho swayam pragrihya parasham rama kshatran dayamano tade gatva maheshmadim ramo brahmagna vihada shriyam tesham sashirsha bhira janmadhye chakre mahagirim tadraktena dhim goram ghora abrahmanya bhayavaham hedam krutva pidurvatham kshatre amangalakarini.
With the axe he started going around the whole planet. And 21 times he did this. Every single Kshatriya, he will get hold of them and slaughter them. And not only he slaughtered them, he brought them to Sananda Panchakam, which was known at that time, today's modern Kurukshetram. At that time, it was known as Sananda Panchakam. And in the Sananda Panchakam, all the Kshatriyas were brought there, and their throats were slit, and the heads were piled up. And there were 9 mountains piled up with their heads. And also with their blood, he created 9 lakes there. Rakta Hradam, as it's called. Even today, if you go to Kurukshetram, these places, in a very, very small way, the locations, they will show it to you, where all these things, Parashurama's different activities have happened. Out of the many holy places around Kurukshetram, they are also there. But you won't find the blood or anything today there, but still... 5,000 years, many thousands of years ago, this place Parashuram has created Sananda Panchakam in this way. And it is to this place, later on, you will see in the 10th canto, when Krishna invited everyone in the whole Bharatavarsham to come for a solar eclipse there, where they spend months together. And that place has become so important. In other words, place became a very important place of pilgrimage later on. Now, so many big fighters may be able to do such things, what Parashuram has done by killing so many others in this world. But it was only Parashuram who could make that place a holy place. That was Parashuram's most important achievement. He made this place, Samanta Panchakam, such an important place. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita we call it Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveda Yulsava. It begins like that. Mamaga Pandavascheva Kima Kurupada Sanjayam. But in Bhagavad Gita beginning itself is, this Kurukshetram is Dharma Kshetram. It's a place of Dharma. It's a place of pilgrimage. For since time immemorial, later on Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita there. Like this, Kurukshetram became one of the most important places of pilgrimage in Bharatavarsham because of this act of Parashuram who performed that then. Tetva tadrektena Trisaptakrutta Bhavim Kutwani Kshatriyam Prabhu Samanda Panchage Chakre Shoni Todan Kridan Murpa Pitukayena Santhaya Shiramadaya Barhishi Sarvadeva Mayam Deva Malpana Mayajan Mahi Dado Prajim Disham Hotre Brahmane the Chinam Disham Advajave Pradijim Vai Udgate Utaram Disham. So now when he did, Parashuram has done this in the whole world, there was no Kshatriyas left. Virtually the whole thing was finished. Without Kshatriyas it became. To such an extent, that is why Kshatriya Kula Andagan, in other words, that is the title given to Parashuram because of his slaughtering of these Kshatriyas at such large scale. It was necessary perhaps because of the way Kshatriyas, by nature, they have this power behind them, and sometimes they become so proud with that Brahmanam and Kshatram, the two forces and the major forces in this world, when they do not work together, there is always destruction in this world. And that is what we observe here, that the Kshatriyas were acting against the interest of the Brahmanas, and Brahmanas, through their power of austerities and penances and the strength they had, the spiritual strength, they tried to punish the Kshatriyas so vigorously. So that's what has happened here, that you will find that Parashuram took a very, very heavy penalty on Kshatriyas for their activities. And later on, all this land now became Parashuram. Parashuram has become the proprietor of the whole planet. So what did he do? He decided to hand over this all in charity, as a Brahmana will do. What is Brahmana going to do with all these things? Whereas somebody else, as soon as they get it in control, they will try to keep generations after generation to keep it in possession. But Parashuram point policy was straight away, he decided to give it in charity. That's what's mentioned here. To escape from the sinful activities, he decided to perform a sacrifice, and in that sacrifice, there is Hotava, Advairya, Udgadava and Brahman. The four the priest who will assist him in performing the sacrifice. So to these four people, he handed over the whole planet in different directions. So when everything was handed over in that way, Parashuram had no place to live at the end. He has handed over the whole planet in charity. And as soon as it was given in charity, those people started saying to Parashuram, it is not proper for you to live in a place after you have given this in charity to somebody else. So this is why Parashuram was in a dilemma what to do. So Parashuram, well, he has handed over, but he also realized later on when they reminded him that something, if you have given in charity to somebody, then you have no right to use it for anything. So Parashuram understood what the situation is, that they were reminding him that the land has been given on charity and Parashuram had no justification to live there. So Parashuram travelled to the south, and in the Sahya mountains he came over there, and standing on the Sahya mountains he looked at the western sea, which is the Arabian Sea as it is called there today, and threw his axe into the sea. And to the what extent the axe has fallen, up to that length, the sea has withdrawn from the land, and that is that today's state of Kerala was formed by Parashuram. Parashurama Kshetram, it is called. Otherwise, this particular state is formed because of Parashuram's necessity. What did Parashuram do after that? He brought the Brahmanas from the north and made them to stay here for the land what he has now recovered from the sea. Not only he, these are all in the Brahmavaivarta Puranam. In details, he tells all these things. And so many other Puranas talks about Parashuram's heroic activities. Not only he brought the Brahmanas there, and he gave them in charity 21 villages and told them to execute the Vedic culture and encourage them to follow the path of Vedic culture. And also told them if there is a necessity that they could call for his help anytime. And they told him what mantra they should chant if they want to have him again. Saying this, he went to the Sahya mountains to perform the penances. Parashuram performs penances all the time. But when he went away, once it so happened, in one of the major temples, these Brahmanas who were given this assurance by Parashuram, they wanted to test, will Parashuram come if he chant the mantra? They wanted to test the power of these mantras, how powerful they would be. They all stood together, and there is a place still today you can see where they stood and chanted the mantra to invite Parashurama to come, a separately marked place. And when they chanted the mantra, within few minutes Parashuram arrived on the scene. And they asked the Brahmanas, why did you invite me? What was the purpose? They just told him that we were just testing out the mantra. Parashuram got so furious, he told them, you don't have to chant that mantra again, I won't be coming, he said. And he left the scene. And that is how Parashuram is. This Parashuram, later on you find in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, we have discussed this before, how he met Lord Ramachandra on the way. Parashuram and Sri Ram together. They had a beautiful discussion in the Ramayanam. You can read that. And it was now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is here as Parashuram as a Brahmana and Lord Ramachandra as a Kshatriya. So this Brahmana Parashuram is speaking to Kshatriya Lord Ramachandra that I do not tolerate any Kshatriyas in this world. He said, I am the person who has slaughtered them in this world 21 times. Lord Ramachandra said to him, I know all that past of you. I have heard about it. It was then that I am going to shoot the arrow now at you. Do you want to surrender or not? It was then that Parashuram heard that Lord Ramachandra has just broken the bow of his spiritual master who is Lord Shiva, Mahendra Chabam, at the palace of King Janaka, and Lord Ramachandra has done this who has married Sita Devi after breaking the bow. When Parashuram has heard that story, that incident, he realized who this Ramachandra was. He is nobody else than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parashuram was an Amsha Avadaram, Amsha incarnation. And seeing Lord Ramachandra in that form, he took away all the power of austerities and penances from his body and transmitted that to Lord Ramachandra's body and left the scene to Mahendra Parvatam where he performed penances since then. So this is the story of Parashuram. Parashuram has such a powerful lifestyle. Where do you find Parashuram again? Parashuram, you see him in the Mahabharata later. If you remember, when Krishna went to see the Duryodhana and all the Kauravas, on behalf of the Pandavas to discuss to negotiate the peaceful deal. Like today they discuss for peace, isn't it? Negotiations. Krishna also did some negotiations. Only difference was Krishna knew before negotiations what was going to happen. Whereas we pin our hopes on our negotiations, which never materializes anything. So at the end, Krishna was there, and in that assembly, Parashuram was there. Parashuram got up in the assembly and told the Kauravas, you take note what Krishna is saying now. If not, you prepare for the worst. This was the warning Parashuram told him and walked out from the assembly. So Parashuram was a personality who did this so many wonderful pastimes in this world. And as a Brahmana, son of Jamadagni, but acted more like a Kshatriya than more like a Brahmana. And Parashurama incarnations mentioned in the Jayadeva Goswami's prayer to Krishna. And in that say, how is he addressed as Kshatriya Rudiramaye Jayadavagada Papam Snabayasi Payasi Shami. Kshatriya Rujiram, that means the Kshatriya's blood is that what he is after. That, and using that blood, he created that lake in Samanta Panchakam. 9 lakes were created, apparently. Keshavadridam Bhrugupati Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare, says Jayadeva Goswami. So Parashuram's position is like that. Now we move on to, in the same chapter, this other story of the other brother of Satyavati, who is the son born from her mother and who became Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra's story is in the same chapter. There is a word here, avabhrata snanam. What does avabhrata snanam mean? That when you perform a big sacrifice, if that sacrifice, completion of that, you have to go to a holy river and dip yourself in the holy river. This is known as avabhrata snanam. It also indicates the end of the ceremony. That is one important thing. So deham jamalagnistu ledhva samyana lakshanam krishinam mandale sobol saptamo rama pojidaham jamalagnyo bhagavan rama kamalalochana agaminyandare rajan vartayishyadi vai bruhal aste dyavi mahendrado nyastadanda prashandari ubagiyamana jadam siddhagandharuvacharanaihi evam brushu vishwalma bhagavan haririshwara avadhirya bharam bohan bahushonrupal gadhiran moon mahadeja samiddham yopavaka tapasa kshatramul srijya yo lebhe brahma varchasam. What is Parashuram's role now? Parashuram will be one of the saptarishi, 7 sages, in the next Manu's time. Vishwamitrasya jaivasan putram ekashatam rupa madhyamastu madhuchanda madhuchanda samevade. Now we start the story of Vishwamitra in this chapter. Vishwamitra had 100 sons, and of these 100 sons, the middle one was more capable. His name was Madhuchandas, and so all 100 of them were called by the same name, Madhuchandas. Madhyamastu madhuchanda madhuchanda samevade putram krutva shunashevam devaranam jabhargavam ajivartam sudanah jeshtamesha pragalpyadam yovai harishchandramakhe vikrida purushapashu stutva devan prajeshadin mamuche pashabandhanal yorado devajane devir gadishutabasa devaranam idhi khyadam shunashevasa bhargavam. So this story we discussed before. Vishwamitra had once saved a boy called Shunasheva from being slaughtered in a sacrifice. Harishchandra sacrificed, Shunasheva was saved by Vishwamitra. And this Shunasheva was brought home by Vishwamitra, and he told his children, the 100 of them, to accept him as their brother. But the first 50 refused to accept him. So he told them that you become righteous and send them away from there. But the next 50, they accepted him as their eldest brother. And from that, Kaushiki Gotram has come about. ये मधुच्छंदसो ज्येष्ठा कुशलं मेनि रेनदल अशबल धन्मनि क्रुद्धो म्लेच्छा भवद दुर्जनाः सहो वाज मधुच्छंद सार्धं पञ्चाशदा तदा यन्नो भवान् संजानीदे तस्मिं स्तिष्ठामहे वयम् ज्येष्ठं मन्द्रदशं चक्रस्त्वमनं जो वयम् स्महि विश्वामित्रसुदानः वीरवन्दो भविष्यदा ये मानं मेनुगृह्णन्दो वीरवन्दमगर्तमम् एष वकुशिगा वीरो देवराजस्तमन्विदा अन्ये चाष्टकमहारिदं जयक्रदुमदादयाम् एवं कौशिकगोत्रं तु Vishwamitrai pradagvidam pravarandaramapannam tadhi jaivam pragalpidam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane Namaskande Shodashodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Namasankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So that chapter finishes with this story of Kartaviryarjunan and also Vishwamitra. And now we move on in the same Lunar dynasty to the next story. But before we, important story is the story of Ayati. But Ayati's story, prior to that, there were a number of kings in between. So, Sri Shukan has not forgotten to mention the names of these kings. Just to show that, what a long dynasty this was, and where these different personalities fits in this long series. Sri Shukavaja,
Ya Puruvirasa Putra Ayustasya Bhavan Sada Nahuja Kshatravardascha Rajim Brahmascha Viryavan Ani Namiti Rajendra Chano Kshatravadhoinvayam Kshatravardasudasyasan Sohotrasya Atmaja Astrayam Kasha Kushogral Samada Idigral Samada Adabul Shunaga Shaunagoyasya Bakhuraja Pravare Omini Kasha Sagasha Salputro Rashto Dhirganama Pidaha Dhanundai Dhirganama Ayurveda Pravartagaha.
So in that dynasty we have Nahusha. Nahusha's story we discussed before. If you remember the king from the Luna dynasty who went and became Indra in the heavenly planet, got cursed by Agastya Maharshi, became a python and can't come back. That story we talked about earlier. That Nahusha appeared here in this story. In the sixth canto, I think, that is mentioned about it. So, Nahusha has appeared in this. And Nahusha's race further, if you look, there's also mentioned Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari Dhair Ghadama Ayurveda Pravartagam. Dhanvantari incarnation of Krishna, which we have seen after the churning of the milk ocean, that Dhanvantari incarnated in this race again. Just see how Krishna's different incarnations appear again and again in different forms as kings in the lunar dynasty. So Dhanvantari incarnation came here. And it says, Sri Shukan says here, Dhanvantari Dhair Ghadama Ayurveda Pravartaga, one who started Ayurvedam. That Ayurveda in operation, in move, that is this Dhanvantari the king. Yatnya Bhugastu Devamsha Smadamartha Artinashana Talputra Kedumana Sajatnya Bhimara Dastada Divodaso Dimamstasmal Pradardana Vedisprada Evashatraja Dalsa Khadadjamitirida Yada Kumalaya Shwedi Prokta Arkadayastada Shashti Varsha Sahasrani Shashti Varsha Shadanija Shashti Varsha Sadanicha Nal Arkada Varo Rajan Medinim Bhuje Yuva Alarkal Sadastasmal Sunidhoda Sugedanam Dharma Yedu Sadastasmal Satyagedu Rajayida Drishta Yedu Sadastasmal Sugumara Kshidi Ishwara Vidi Hotrasya Vargo To Varga Bhumira Bhunrava Idi Me Kushkaushaya Kashayo Bhupa Chatravurdhana Yayina Rampasya Rabasa Putro Gambhira Shakriyastadaha Tasya Kshetri Brahma Yatnye Shunu Vamshamani Nasa Shuddhastada Shastasmal, Trigugod Dharmasarati, Tadashandari Ujiti, Kadakritisamal, Mamal, Reje, Panjashadanya, San Putrana, Vidaujasam, Redeva, Birtido Daitian, Hatuindra Yada Divam, Indrastasmai Pinardatua, Grihitua, Charano, Reje, Almana, Payama, Saprahada, Dirishangida, Pilejubade Putra, Ajamana, in O Dadu, Travishtava Mahindra, Yvagan, Samadadu, Guruna, Huyama, Nigno, Belabitane, and the Jim. Shubram Shidan Marganagachidavashe Shida Kushal Padichatravurdal Sandayastal Sudo Jaya Talakadakasyabi Yi Hajavano Nurpa Sahadeva Sudo Hino Jayasena Stadal Sudam Sagudista Sijaya Chatadarmo Maharada Chatravurdhanvaya Bhupa Shunuvamsham Jana Hushal Srimal Bhagavati Namaskande Saptadashodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeetanam Govinda Govinda. So these number of kings who are mentioned here, starting from Pururavas. Pururavas story we heard before, that how Pururavas became such a powerful king, engaged in all kinds of sense gratification with Urvashi, tried to enjoy every bit in this world, eventually realized that this is not the best route to go, rather better to become renounced to the material world and take the spiritual path. This is what Pururavas has taught us. That this path of material enjoyment, pravarti margam, will only create more problems. So he gives the what is known as Ailagidam, which comes in the later on, which Krishna speaks to Uddhava. So this Pururavas followed that route, and these are the members who came later on in the Pururavas family. So now we are going to talk about Nahusha's the dynasty, the children coming from Nahusha. Shri Ishuga Vajan. Yadu Yayadi Samyadi Aydir Vyadikadi Shadime Nahushasyan in Indriyani Vadehinam. So Ayadi's story is that what is going to be discussed in the next whole chapter. I think Ayadi, yeah, this long story is about Ayadi, and this is very, very, very important story because this story has in many ways, Sri Shukan tells us many things through this story. That is one important thing of this Yayati story. Yayati, as you can see here,
രാജ്യം നൈച്ഛദ്യതി പിത്രാദത്തം തൽപരിണാമവിൽ എത്ര പ്രവിഷ്ടപുരുഷം ആത്മാനം നവബുദ്ധ്യതയും പിതൃഭ്രംശരേസ്ഥാന ഇന്ദ്രാന്യകർഷണാദ്വിജൈ പ്രാപിതേ അജഗരത്വം യയാധിരഭവൻ നൃപാം ചതസൃഷ്വാദിഷദ്ദിക്ഷു ഭ്രാതൻ ഭ്രാതാ കവ്യവീയസ കൃതദാരോ ജുഗോപോർവിം കാവ്യസ്യാവൃഷപർവണാം. ശ്രീരാജോവാച ബ്രഹ്മർഷിഭഗവാൻ കാവ്യ ക്ഷത്രബന്ധുശ്ച നാഹുഷ രാജൻ വിപ്രയോ കസ്മാൽ ദിവാഹ പ്രതിലോമകാം. ദിസ് കിങ് യയാതി, ഹി ഹാഡ് എ വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ലൈഫ്. ഹൗ ഇറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഓർ വൈ ഇറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ സംടൈംസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് വെരി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു സേ, ബട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഇൻ ഹിസ് ലൈഫ്. യയാതി വാസ് എ ക്ഷത്രിയ കിങ് ഹു ടുക്ക് ഓവർ ദി അഡ്മിനിസ്ട്രേഷൻ. And he had to marry a Brahmana girl who was Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya. Now, according to the Vedic injunctions, for a Kshatriya to marry a Brahmana girl was against the injunctions. It is known as Pratilomam. On the other hand, a Brahmana to marry a Kshatriya girl is acceptable. That is known as Anilomam. Anilomam is okay, but Pratilomam is not acceptable. So, why Yayadi had to marry Devayani? When Parikshit heard that question from Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit raised this question, why did this happen? Such a marriage happened. This was the question from Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. So, he wanted to know about that. So, in answer to that, this whole story is there in the Bhagavatam. ശ്രീരാജോവാച ബ്രഹ്മർഷി ഭവാൻ കാവ്യം ക്ഷത്രബന്ധുശ്ച നാഹുഷ രാജൻ വിപ്രയോ കസ്മാൽ വിവാഹ പ്രതിലോമക ശ്രീശുകോവാച ഏകദാ ദാനവേന്ദ്രസ്യ ശർമ്മിഷ്ഠാ നാമ കന്യക സഖീ സഹസ്ര സംയുക്തോ ഗുരുപുത്രയാ ച ഭാമിനീ. വൺസ് അപ്പോൺ എ ടൈം ശർമ്മിഷ്ഠ ദി ഡോട്ടർ ഓഫ് വൃഷപർവ വാസ് ദി കിങ് ഹിസ് ഡോട്ടർ ശർമ്മിഷ്ഠ ആൻഡ് ദ പ്രീസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദി കിങ് ഓഫ് ദി ഇൻ ദി പാലസ് ഹു വാസ് Shukracharya and his daughter Devayani, they went together to the forest to play, and they were sporting in the lake without clothes on. They were having a good time, enjoying themselves. And when they were enjoying like that, by chance Lord Shiva came there with Sri Parvati. On that way, everyone ran to get clothes to cover themselves up. If you remember, in the 10th canto we have the similar story with the Nalagovera and Manigriva also. There they offended Sri Narada Muni. Here they felt frightened because Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati, vivastra, vivastra means without clothes to bathe in the river or in the lakes, is forbidden. And they have broken that rule. So they were feeling that they could be in trouble. So they immediately ran to get the clothes to cover themselves. So in that process, Sharmishta by mistake took Devayani's clothes and covered herself. The clothes were kept on the on the shore, and she went and took the clothes and covered herself. Devayani got upset with her. So they started arguing each other, and Sharmishta pushed Devayani into a well, and she had no clothes even, and she fell into this well, and Sharmishta left the scene. This is what has happened. So she says here, ഏകദാ ദാനവേന്ദ്രസ്യ ശർമ്മിഷ്ഠാ നാമ കന്യക സഖീ സഹസ്ര സംയുക്ത ഗുരുപുത്രയാ ച ഭാമിനീ. ദേവയാന്യാ പുരോദ്യാനേ പുഷ്പിതദ്രുമ സങ്കുലേ വ്യജനൽ കളകീതാളി നളിനീ പുളിനേബല താ ജലാശയമാസാദ്യം കന്യാ കമലലോചന തീരേന്യസ്യ തുലാനിവി വിജഹ്രോസിഞ്ജനീർമിതാം വീക്ഷ്യവ്രജന്തം ഗിരിശം സഹദേവ്യാ വൃഷസ്ഥിതം സഹസോത്തീര്യവാസാംസി പരിനിർവ്രീഡിതാ സ്ത്രീയ ശർമ്മിഷ്ഠാ ജാനദീവാസോ ഗുരുപുത്രയാ സമവ്യയൽ സ്വീയം മത്വാ പ്രകുപിതോ ദേവയാനീ നമബ്രവീൽ. അഹോ നിരീക്ഷതാമസ്യ ദാസ്യ കർമ്മഹ്യ സാമ്പ്രതം അസ്മദ്ധാര്യം ധതവതി ശുനീവ ഹവിരധ്വരേം. യു ഷുഡ് ഒബ്സർവ് ദിസ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ദേവയാനീസ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹിയർ. ദേവയാനി സേസ് ഹിയർ that look at this servant maid Sharmishta, the king's daughter she is talking about, because Devayani is thinking, I am the daughter of the Acharya, who is a Shukracharya, the Brahmana, and she is only a Kshatriya girl, but look at her pride, she says, Devayani says. So Devayani and Sharmishta started fighting each other. In other words, Devayani said, Sharmishta, you are just like a dog
who comes and eat the havis from the sacrifice. The havis is the in the offering of the sacrifice that is not to be seen by the dogs. If a dog sees that, it is to be understood that it is already polluted. So normally the dogs are not allowed anywhere near that area. All and therefore, here you find that this was mentioned there specifically for one reason, that the impurity of being a dog, in associating with the dog while eating, while sleeping, or any activity is considered to be not a very good thing, because it's such an impure creature in any way that it will make everything not only, even if we are not pure, it will, even if we are not impure, it will make us still impure by the very association. So Devayani says here that this Sharmishta is like a dog who was actually looked at the havis from the sacrifice. For that she criticized her very strongly. And then at that point, Yairidam tavasa srishtam mukham samarasyaye dharyadeyeriha jyodi shivapandashchadarshidam tan vadandi vadishthande loganatha sareshwaraha bhagavan abhivishwalma pavana shrinigedana vayam tatravi bhagava shishyosyana vidasura asmadharyam dadavadi shudro vedamivasadim evam shavandim sharmishta guriputrima bhashana vishasha sandirangiva darshida dashtadachadam. So Sharmishta was also not willing to give up easily. She also started reporting, reacting back very strongly. She said to her that, who is your father? After all, he is here just like a priest, and a priest who is just living to get money to live from the king is not considered to be in an occupational wise in a very nice situation. Particularly those who are performing marriages, brahmanas who perform marriages and who perform things like that to maintain their material body in this world are considered to be belong to a lower category. And that is what she openly told to Shukracharya's daughter. Told Devayani, made her realize that, look, your father Shukracharya is just like a Purohit who wants to live at the cost of performing these sacrifices or marriages or whatever that is. And it's not a very glorified position as a Brahmana is concerned. For Brahmanas also there are categories in there. Different types of Brahmanas who have spiritual life taken priority, they are considered on a higher level definitely, rather than the Brahmana who uses every opportunity to make money. So that's a different class of Brahmana. So this is that is already there in the Vedic system. This understanding is very clear in everyone's head, that what one is doing and what one is not doing. So from that point of view, it was mentioned here, evam shabandim sharmishta guriputrima bhashada rusha shasandirangiva darshida dashtadachadam atma vradama vijnayam katha sabhubhikshagi kimna pradikshase asmagam grihan balibujo yatham evam chidai subadeshu virishai shittu acharya sudam sadim sharmishta prakshivan kube vasam adayamanyuna tasyam gadayam sugriham yayadira mrigayam charan prapto yadurchaya kube jalartitam dadarshaham. Saying each other all these things, Sharmishta and Devayani. Sharmishta left Devayani there and went to her place. In the meanwhile, she was left alone in this well without clothes and standing there. What to do next? It was by chance, by providence you can say, that our King Yayadi came that way. And King Yayadi came and he wanted to have some water to drink. Now normally if a king wants water, you don't have to look for a well to find water. That's a very unusual thing for a king, that he has to find out a well first to get the water. If he had ordered, there will be enough people to supply the water. But it was the way the providence worked that day, that things were supposed to happen in this way. The Yayadi somehow left the whole group of people who were with him and went away from their association. On alone, he was hunting. And it is then that he felt the desire to drink water. So he was on his own and he had to look for a source for the water. Another interesting thing is, not far from there were this big lake where these girls were sporting, Sharmishta and Devayani. That also Yayadi didn't notice it. So you can see how things will happen in this world when some other unknown factor controls the life of these everyone in this world. That is what is showing to us. That you may have so much knowledge and planning in your head, but there is a higher law working in this world, which according to its own plan, things happen. And this is what has happened to Ayyadi. And when Ayyadi came and saw this blind well, he was amazed to see Devayani standing there without clothes. And after that, the king's mind has turned to Devayani. After that, Sri Shukan is not saying anything, whether Ayyadi got water or whether he drank water. Nothing is mentioned there after that. So you can see from there, why I'm saying this is that Sri Shukan is trying to point out certain things. How in life, in spite of your best planning and everything, things doesn't happen the way you want it. There are higher and higher plans behind everything, and the superior plan of Krishna is what is working. What you call it as providence or whatever that is. But it is that plan that is always working. Sri Shukan has never mentioned whether Ayyadi got water after that, after all this. No, he came there, he saw in this well Devayani standing there. So what could he do? First thing he was, he took his uttariyam from the second cloth from his shoulders and thrown it to her so that she could cover herself. As the first opportunity, he did that. The second thing, all he could do was to give his hand to her and pull her out from the well, to bring her out from there. So he extended his hand and pulled her out from the well. Devayani came out. So when Devayani came out, what did Devayani say to Ayyadi? It's all over now. Finished. Two things you have done. You have given me the cloth and you have given me the hand. What does that mean? Means we are now married, aren't we? Said, yeah. If this way things happen, it's not too bad, isn't it? The daughter goes in the morning. In the evening, she brings someone with you and says, I got my husband today. And I found my husband. And this is exactly what Devayani did. Ayyadi was in shock. Ayyadi had nothing else he could do about it. Because these are the two things he had to do to give the clothes to her. And these two things are important aspects of a marriage ceremony also. Giving either a nice cloth, a sari or a nice dhoti or whatever to the wife, or would-be wife, and then also holding the hand. This is known as panigrahanam. The other word in the Shastra is panigrahanam, holding the hand together. And that is how the wedding is done. So this wedding has happened in this blind well standing there, and Ayyadi standing on the outside. So she started saying to Ayyadi that I have no choice now, I'm married, she said. Ayyadi started looking at her. Ayyadi said to her that I am a Kshatriya. And when he found out that Devayani was the daughter of Shukracharya, he had a great fear in his mind, because strictly speaking, a Kshatriya marrying a Brahmana woman was not at all acceptable at that time. They strictly followed that principles. And therefore there was no question of Ayyadi marrying Devayani. So Ayyadi mentioned that to Devayani. Devayani, where can you find this such a thing happening in life? A Kshatriya marrying a Brahmana girl. This is not proper. Ayyadi started reminding Devayani again and again. Devayani says, why is it not proper? Do you want Shastra for that? If it's because of Shastra that you don't want to marry me, come with me, we'll go to our father. My father can create any Shastra you want. Anytime you will be convinced, he said. Why? Because if you remember, earlier in the Mahabali's case, what did Shukracharya do? Shukracharya said, Strishu Narma Vivaheshu Vrityarthe Prana Sangane Go Brahmane Behimsaya Nanradam Sajugupsidam. When Mahabali said to Shukracharya that I am not going to tell a lie in any circumstances, because I have committed this to Vamanamurti, that I will give this 3 feet of land to you. And at that time, Shukracharya said, don't worry about that. There is Shastra to say the lie also. And he started saying, in all these circumstances, when Strishu, Narma, Vivaheshu, Vrityarte, Pranasangane, Go Brahmanabhye, Himsayam, Nanradam, Sal, Jugupsidam, you can tell lie in all these conditions. Shastra allows that. Shukracharya took his Shukranidhi or whatever law book he has got and pulled out these words and started showing this to Mahabali. Mahabali said, I'm not listening to your Shastra, he said. I'll follow my own conscience. And he started placing Vamanamurti. So Shukracharya has always got some Shastra to support his position. So Devayani holds, Devayani and Yayadi agreed, we will go and talk to your father, because after all, he is a learned person, learned Brahmana, Shukracharya. So they together go, Devayani and Yayadi goes to Shukracharya. And she said everything to Shukracharya, what has happened. Devayani said to Shukracharya. And also, Devayani said to Shukracharya that he is my husband and we have to arrange the marriage straight away, ceremony, everything. At that point, Shukracharya was a bit confused. He was confused because here, Devayani has created another problem with Sharmishta. Sharmishta is Vrishabharva's daughter. Vrishabharva was the king. Devayani also said to Shukracharya that you should give up the service of Vrishabharva and leave this place, because they are speaking in a very insulting way, saying that we are like dogs, Shudra, standing here for the food, we are serving them in this priestly activity. In the Bhagavadam, our Shukracharya says very clearly that this occupation is not very good, Paurohityam. Like a Purohit to live, he himself agrees with that, and he decides to leave the palace with Devayani at that moment. But there is another problem. Our Devayani had already a curse from Kacha. Kacha has cursed her. Why? Because earlier Kacha was member of the demigods group. So our Shukracharya knew something which Brihaspati didn't know. Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods, and Shukracharya is the spiritual master of the demons, Asura spiritual master. So this Mrida Sanjeevani is the mantra by which you can bring someone back to life again in any circumstances. This is the beauty of that mantra. So when Brihaspati and the demigods didn't know this mantra, they were finding it very difficult, because in every war they killed the demons and they all used to come back to life again. And this was becoming very difficult. So they decided to send someone to learn this Mrida Sanjeevani mantra from Shukracharya. So Kacha came there in a very covered manner and started serving Shukracharya, and he wanted to learn this mantra Mrida Sanjeevani from Shukracharya. How to get it? Because that was also difficult. It was not so easy. Shukracharya won't reveal it easily to anyone like that. And Shukracharya didn't take seriously, but in middle, Kacha realized that if I fall in love with Devayani, it will be a good opportunity to approach Shukracharya and use that relationship to get the Mrida Sanjeevani mantra from Shukracharya. So, the Kacha fell in love with Devayani, and Devayani also loved Kacha very much. So, Devayani wanted Kacha to marry her. But Kacha had no intention to marry. Kacha had come with a business here. He had a business to do. That was to get this Mrida Sanjeevani. So one day, the demons all sensed her, because constantly they are spying each other. MI5 was going on, I think, both sides. So they were spying and they found out that this Kacha is a member of the Devas or the demigods, and he has come here for this purpose. So they killed him. When they killed him, Devayani was in trouble. So Devayani told Shukracharya to give him life back again. So Shukracharya chanted Mrida Sanjeevani mantram and brought Kacha back to life, although he was killed by the demons. So he was brought back to life again. So this time, the demons would not allow that to happen. So what did they do? They killed him and burned him and put his ashes into the drink what Shukracharya was drinking and gone inside his body. Kacha went into Shukracharya's body in the stomach. So he's sitting there inside Shukracharya's stomach and Devayani is outside. Now what to do? The only thing Kacha could do was to cut open Shukracharya's stomach and comes out from inside. So in that case, Shukracharya will die. So what did Shukracharya do? Shukracharya taught this mantra to Kacha, who was inside the belly, who is sitting there, and told him, you cut open and come out, because when I die, you can bring me back to life chanting the mantra. So this agreement was worked out between Shukracharya and Kacha, and Kacha came out, Shukracharya died, Kacha chanted the Mrutasanjeevani, brought Shukracharya back to life again. So this is how they were. And when all this was over, Devayani said to Kacha that now you can marry me, everything is finished now. Said, you got the mantra what you wanted. Devayani was more bothered whether he had the mantra or not the mantra. All she was interested was to get married to Kacha. But Kacha had higher plan to go back to the demigods to the mantra. So he said, I cannot marry you, he said. And at that point, she started cursing Kacha, and Kacha also cursed him back. Cursed her back. The curse was that no Brahmana will marry you. So Devayani had this curse from Kacha, and therefore Devayani was very much aware that Yayadi at least is a Kshatriya king. Rather than going after anyone else, at least Kshatriya is not too bad. After all, he's a Kshatriya, he's a king as well. So I will rather marry Yayadi. And that is why Devayani was mentioned this to Yayadi, and Yayadi understood the situation. He also took it that it is a sign of it's a will of providence or whatever that was. It was meant to happen like this. He married her. So Devayani married Yayadi. But now is the more interesting part coming from there. Shishugani is so humorous sometimes. Only when you read Bhagavadam and think about Shishugan's way of saying things, that you will enjoy that what a personality Sudeva Goswami was in explaining these things. So our Devayani, when she finished this, she said to Shukracharya, leave the palace now, we have to go. When Shukracharya mentioned this to Vrishabharwa, the king, Vrishabharwa was frightened, because without the help of a powerful priest like Shukracharya, he cannot fight the demigods any time. So for the Asura race to sustain and survive, Shukracharya was absolutely had to live. There was no other choice. Shukracharya had to live. So he said to Shukracharya, we will do whatever need to be done to keep you here. The best package was offered to Shukracharya. Shukracharya took advantage of the whole thing. Shukracharya said to Vrishabharwa, as far as I am concerned, it's not so important. But these two girls, your daughter Sharmishta and my daughter Devayani, they have created so much problem for each other. And now we have to come to some conclusion with this. Devayani said that if you want to stay here only on one condition, Sharmishta should come with me as my servant maid from now on. Only if that, Devayani is also like that, won't give up. So these two women, they started making demands to each other. Ultimately, Sharmishta had no choice. That Sharmishta told Vrishabharwa, discussed this Vrishabharwa, her father, and they decided that for the protection of the Asura race, for the demon's race, Sharmishta will accept that service. Just go with Devayani as a servant maid to help her. But look at the way things happen in this world. This Sharmishta was gone with Devayani as a servant maid to Yayati's palace. Yayati is a king, isn't it? So to the palace, she went as a servant maid with Devayani. While going, Shukracharya already saw that this Yayati could become again victimized by Sharmishta. So Sharmishta may get attracted to Yayadi, and they are both Kshatriyas, Kshatriya woman and the king. So it could be a possibility at some time later that Sharmishta may get attracted to Yayadi, and what will happen to Devayani? These thoughts came to his mind. So what did he do? Shukracharya said to Yayadi that do not think too much about Sharmishta, but always remember that she is coming there as a servant maid, not as the daughter of Vrishabharwa. He reminded this to Yayadi. Not only that, he also told Yayadi, if you develop any relationship with Sharmishta later, I will curse you and burn you into ashes. he gave a very stern warning to Yayadi. Yayadi said, "I will take care of it," he said. "Don't worry about it," he said. Then Devayani was also instructed by Shukracharya to keep an eye on the situation. So when they went to live in the palace, at some point in time, Devayani became pregnant. So Devayani became pregnant, and Sharmishta was also living there as a servant maid, assisting her. Then what Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam is, Yadushchaturvasim chaiva Devayani vijayadam Druhyam chanunja purunja Sharmishta vashavarvani. That is the fine verse in the Bhagavatam, very famous words from Sri Shukan saying what happened. Yadushchaturvasum chaiva Devayani vijayadam. Next thing what we see is Devayani is coming with two boys and Sharmishta is coming with three boys in their hand, holding their hand each other. So when Devayani saw that Sharmishta had three children, where did all these children coming from? "Oh, I got this, they were the children of a sage," he says, "a Rajarshi, a king in the saintly form." And when Devayani found out the father is Yayadi himself of all these three children who has come. In fact, Devayani became so furious that she had only two boys, and here Yadu and Turvasu were born from Devayani, whereas Druhyam, Chanu and Puru, Druhya, Anudruhya and Puru, all three were born from Sharmishta Vashabarvani. Vishabarva's daughter Sharmishta had these three girls. And Sri Shukan is smiling. "Look at these people," he says. "That look at their how strong they are." Because he was a personality full of renunciation knowledge. He was actually feeling compassion for these kings of the lunar dynasty, seeing the way they were going through their different activities and struggling in the material world, trying to please one or the other and getting entangled and caught up in all the complicated situations. So he says here, Yadushchaturvasum chaiva Devayani vijayeda Druhyam chanunja purunja Sharmishta vashavarvani. So that is where that story goes. We'll continue reading that and complete that story afterwards. Sri Shuka Vaja Ekadadanavindrasya Sharmishta nama kanyaga Sakhi sahasra samyukta Guru Putraya jabhamini Devayanya purodhyane Pushpitadruma sangule Vijanal kalagidali nalina Puline nalini puline balam Tajala shema sadhyam Kanya kamala lojana Tirenya sidulani Vijakru sinjadirmida Vishabrajandam girisham Sahadevya vrushastidam Sahaso tiryavasamsi Paridurugridida sriyam Sharmishta janadivaso Guru Putrayam samavyayal Sviyam matva prakubi Devayani Mabravil Aho Nirichanamasya Dasya Karmakya Sambranam Asmadharyam Dhradavadi Shuniva Haviradvare Yeridandamasasashtamukhamam Sabarase Dharyade Yeriha Jyodisho Pandayadarshida Yan Mandandi Padishtande Loganasha Sareshwara Bhagavan Vishwalma Pavana Shri Nigedana Vayam Tatra Vibhagava Shishyosyana Vidasura Asmadharyam Dhradavadi Shudro Vedamivasadi Evam Shabandim Sharmishta Guru Putrim Bhashada Arushasa Sandirangirava Angiva Dashida Dashta Dachada Alma Vrittam Vitnyaya Kathase Bahubikshagi Kimna Pradeshase Smagam Grihan Velibujo Yeda Evam Vidai Subarishai Shittuajari Sudam Sadim Sharmishta Prachival Kube Vasamadayam Anyunam Tasyam Gadayam Sugriham Yayadir Mrigayam Charan Prapto Yidrachaya Kube Jalartim Tam Dadarshaha Dattva Samuttaram Vasas Tasiraja Vivasase Grihitva Vanina Pani Mujahar Dayapara Tam Viram Ahoshanase Pramanar Bhayagira Rajam Stoya Grihidome Pani Paraburanjaya Astagraho Baroma Bud Grihitva Yastayohime Yashamishagro Vira Sambando Nauna Puru Elidam Gubalegnaya Bhavodashanam Mama Nabramanomi Bhavida Hastagraho Mahabuja
kvajasya varhaspatyasya shabadyamashabam pura ayadinanaphipraidam devobhakadamalpana manastu dalganam buttva pradiyagrahadadvaja gadirajani savire tatraismatadadi udadipidu nedayil tadasarvamuktam sharmishnayakritam durmana bhagavan kavya pavirohityam vigrahayan snavan vrittim jakapodim duhitrasayayau pural vrushaparvadamajnaya prityanivivakshidam gurum prasadayen mudra padayopadidapadhi shraddhamanyur bhagavan shishyam vyajashta bhargava kamosya kriyadam rajannainam tektumikholsaha. You will see here a word, Kshanardhamanyur Bhagavan. Shukracharya is mentioned as Bhagavan. You will see in Bhagavatam in several places, great personalities mentioned as Bhagavan. Srinarada Muni also mentioned as Bhagavan. Vedavyasa Maharshi is mentioned as Bhagavan. Similarly here, Kshanardhamanyur Bhagavan, he is addressed as Bhagavan. He was also Kshanardhamanyur. In other words, his anger will go away very quickly, very easily. He loses his temper, but at the same time, it won't last very long. Quickly it subsides. Tadityavastire praha devayani mano agaram pita adatayado yase sanigo yaduma amanum swanam tal sangaram vichadadartha sijagaviravam devayani imperigaral stri sahasrena dasaval nahushay sudam dutvam sahasharmishtayo shana tamaharatya sharmishtam asa astalpe enakarhijil vilo kyoshana sim rajar sharmishta asa prajam kujil tameo brirakasi sakhya padimrudau sadi rajamutyarthi dobatye dharmam chaveksha dharmavil smaran shukravajakkale dishtameva abhyavadhyadam idam chaturvasum jaiva devayani vijayida druhyam chanum chapuram cha sharmishta varshavarvani garbha sambhava suryam bhartavijnayamanini devayani pidrugeham yayo krodhavimochida priyam anugadakami vajo virubamandrayan saprasadayidam shege padasamvahana adivi shukrastamah kubida strikamanda purusha tvam jaravishadam manda virubakarani nranam. So our Devayani goes back to the palace with Yadu and Turvasu and also Yayati. When Shukracharya heard what has happened, that what he has originally told him not to do, that means not to associate with Sharmishta as his wife, Yayati has gone and done exactly that. So this time he got so angry that immediately cursed Yayati. Yayati, you will capture, straight away will be captured by old age, Jara. So he was immediately affected by Jara. So Yayadi, the powerful king, was lying down in one corner, fully finished, old person. He was, I don't know how many years old he was, the old age has taken over the whole body. Now, what has happened? Yayadi says, now what can I do? I can't do anything. Now, Yayadi said to Devayani at that time, Devayani, you have done a very nice thing. When you fell in that well without clothes, you were standing there. I came there, I gave you my hand and pulled you out of it from that situation and helped you, and I married you as you requested, and you got this present for me from your father, isn't it? This is what he said to Devayani. He mentioned to Devayani that, look at this, your own children, Yadu and Turvasu, they've got a father like me now, sitting in one corner, coughing all the time, and with such as old age and illness. So when she heard all these things from Yayadi, Devayani thought that maybe it would be not a bad thing for Yayadi to get the youth back again. So this Devayani is driving this whole dynasty from beginning to end, one way or the other. So Devayani says to Shukracharya, do something about him now, bring him back to youthful age again, he says to Shukracharya. Shukracharya was so fond of this daughter Devayani that anything she says, he will do it for him. But this time there is a problem, because he has cursed him in such a way that he has to stay in this old age body. There is no choice, he said. But because you are my daughter, I'll make one concession, he said. That concession is that if any of his children are willing to accept the old age, he can exchange that with them. In other words, he can hand over his old age to them and get the youth from him, and then he can have it. This was the agreement. See, kind of exchanges goes on, what was happening then. So when this agreement reached, Yayadi thought, it's not a bad idea. I have got 5 children, isn't it? Yadu and Turvasu from the first marriage, from Devayani. And Druhyu, Anudruhyu and Puru from the second marriage.
Actually, when you read that verse, you will notice that these names also, Druhyu, Anadruhyu and all, what a droham, you will think. Droham means what a crazy situation this is. First thing he asked was Yadu, the eldest one from Devayani. Yayadi asked, could we make this deal that you take my old age and give me your youth so that I can enjoy. So Yadu says, I don't want that deal, he says. It's all right, you are my father and everything. But Yadu was an intelligent person. Why Yadu is intelligent? It is in this race of Yadu, known as Yadava, Krishna has appeared. So, Yadoscha dharma shilasya nidaram munisattamam. How intelligent Yadu was, Sri Shugan says, before Krishna's appearance in the 10th canto. Why he was intelligent? Because he knew what this body is meant for. When his father said that he wants to have the body, in normal circumstances, he should listen to his father, isn't it? That is what is expected as a good son. Even before asking, he should have offered the body. From the moral point of view, it is like that. But no. In the Bhagavatam says, Yadoscha dharmashilasya nitaram munisattamam. Yadu's realization of using this human form of life for spiritual advancement, he had such a great conviction that his body is not meant for anything else. If no matter whether it's father, mother or anyone, doesn't matter. I've got this body when it is young, when it has got some energy and strength, I will use it for spiritual advancement to develop Krishna consciousness. This was Yadu's position. And for this one reason, Yadu is glorified throughout Srimad Bhagavatam as one of the greatest personalities who had such clear intelligence and clear understanding. Look at ourselves. We all come to think about spiritual life when we are about 50 or 60. That's when we think about spiritual life. And we start execution about 80 or 90, just few days before before you start putting the earth onto the coffin. That's when our day starts, spiritual life. But Yadu, at such an early age, he was able to remember that no point in wasting this human life for anything else except for spiritual advancement and developing Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is glorified in the Bhagavatam for this special intelligence. Normally, in the lunar dynasty you saw, almost all of them played with fire, with material happiness, a lot, before they got into that realization. But Yadu, no. Yadu was one person who was different. From the very early time, he started trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. That became Yadu's way of life. So because Yadu said no, that means naturally he was cursed. He was cursed by Father Yayadi that anyone born in your family will never become an emperor. That is why when Krishna and Balaram later on were in Dwaraka as a member of the Yadava family, and when Lakshmana was taken over, Samba went to marry Lakshmana in Hastinapur. Later on you will see this in the 10th canto, this story comes up. There was a discussion between Uddhava went to sort this out in Hastinapur. Balaram sent him first. Uddhava, I'll go there. When he heard that Samba has been arrested by Duryodhana and kept in Hastinapur, Balaram took his plow and started. He said, I'll put this plow on Hastinapur and the whole thing will be lying in the Ganges River, Ganga River, he said. And he was prepared for that. But Uddhava said, we will stay outside the city limits. You can stay. I'll go and chat with them. I'll go and talk to Duryodhana and ask them to receive, to release Lakshmana and Samba from there. But when he went there, what has happened was, Duryodhana started saying to Uddhava that look at the arrogance of these Yadavas. They are not even any authority, they don't have a throne even to sit. They are not even emperors, they are ordinary kings. And they are coming and talking to us in Hastinapur who are just emperors here. So the whole thing became so critical that both Balaram felt very offended by these words of Duryodhana. That is when he decided that my disciple has to, what kind of disciple I have got, he said. So he says, disciple, isn't it? In Gadayudham, for fighting with the club, Duryodhana was trained by Balaram. And every time Balaram has said anything to Duryodhana, he won't listen. And the teacher, the spiritual master, thought that I've got the best disciple who never listens to anything what I say. What kind of disciple is this? Alright, Krishna will sort this all out, he said to himself. And he got so angry at one point that everyone came from the palace and paid their obeisances. And only when Balaram put the plough onto the bottom of the palace and started putting the whole thing, the whole Hastinapur started shaking. And it was then that Bhishma and Drona and others went to Duryodhana and told him that we should not upset Balaram because the whole thing will be finished then. And then he agreed to bring Lakshmana and Samba and offer them to Balaram, and Balaram took them and came back to Dwaraka. At that time, Balaram mentioned about this, look at the arrogance of this my disciple, such a disciple, he thought himself. Anyway, this kind of things did happen, all because Yadu never became an emperor. He was always a king. So he could become a king later. Turvasu also refused, because the elder brother said like this. Turvasu also said, I don't want it, he said. So Yadu said, Turvasu said. Druhyu also said, seeing the other two saying, why should I waste my youth for the sake of the father? He had his good time. Let the old man die and go. Why should not I enjoy? This was the youngster's feeling. So Druhyu also followed the same. Anudruhyu also did the same thing. So all four of them went in that direction. The last one who is left is Puru only. So Puru took a different position. Puru said, after all, he is my father. So Puru should thought himself that if I can help him anyway, I should help him. So he decided to exchange with Yayadi his youth, and the Yayadi wanted to offer his old age. So youth and the old age were exchanged. Yayadi became young again and Puru became a very old person. This was the result of this Devayani's negotiations with Shukracharya earlier. So that is where we are. Yayati Vacham Adruptos Madhyakamanam Brahman Buhidarismade Vetyasyadam Yatha Kamam Vayaso Yopidasyadi Idi Labdham Yavastanam Putram Jeshtama Vochada Yadotada Pradichemam Jaram Dehinijam Vayam Mada Mahagradam Valsa Nadrupto Vishayeshoham Vayasa Bhavadiyenam Si Kadibaya Samaha. See, Ayati's words, I am not satisfied yet, he says, in this world. I am not satisfied with my life in this world. Yaduruvaja nol sahejara sastadu andara praptayatava aviditva sukham gramyam vaidrashnyam naidi purusham. Turvasoschodida pitradu hischanischa bharada pratyajagradharmanya anitya nityabudhayam. There you can see something interesting. That there is a word there, Vaidrishnyam Naidi Purusha. Yadu says to, Yadu's intelligence is coming through those words. Yadu says to Yayadi that Vairagyam or renunciation should develop in one's heart at some time in life. And that Vairagyam I am trying to achieve. And I don't want to waste that realization from Vairagyam, renunciation, what has come to me for a simple purpose like that. And giving up material desires is not an easy thing. Giving up material desires is not an easy thing. From the history of all these personalities, you can see that the so-called renunciation, what we are talking about, is not a very easy thing. It doesn't happen so easily. You may say so many things that I am detached, I am renounced, I am this, I am that. But when we see the life of these kings, you see how much they were struggling to give up their attachment to sense gratification. And personalities like Yadu is warning there that Vidrishna, free from material desires, is achieved with great difficulty. And after doing that, if I hand over this body for somebody's sense gratification, I'm not an intelligent person. This is what Yadu's point is. And Turvasu says there, Turvasu chodida pitra druhyaschanischa bharada pratyajagyura dharmanyo anityeni te buddhayam apracchaltanayam puryam vayasoinam guna adhiyam natuma grajavadvarsva maam pratyakhyadum arhasim. There, the word used is vayasoinam guna adhiyam. Although the youngest, he had the greatest quality. Who? Puru. Why? Because he has agreed to accept Yayati's old age in exchange of his youth. So there, it is mentioned there that by this quality, Puru has shown something different than the others. All the other brothers haven't shown. So there, Puru's words, you should see, notice now what Puru says. Puru vacha konulege manushendra piralmagrada puvan pradigartam shamo yasya prasadan vindade param. Then Sri Shukan says about Puru, uttamaschindidam kuryal protakaridu madhyama adhamo ashradaya kuryat agartho charidam vidum. Four kinds of sons are in this world. What are they? One who does things without being told, knowing the mind of the father, one who does what is required. He is known as uttamaschindidam kuryal. He does what is required even without being told. He anticipates in advance what does his father wants, and he is called uttama, the best. And then proktakari idu madhyama. Proktakari means when one is asked to do something, he'll do it happily, but only he has to be told, only then he will do it. So such a person is not even considered to be the best according to the principles of this world. In other words, if you are not bringing spiritual life into it, from a material point of view, this is what is considered to be good and bad. In other words, one who is listening, one who is doing things without being told, knowing well what his father require and acting and pleases his father by his activities, he is considered to be uttamam. Proktakari idu madhyamam. Proktakari is one who does when he is instructed. And what is the third type? Adhamo ashradhaya kuryal. There is a third type who, if you tell them to do something, they will grumble and then they will do it. There are kind of children in this world. That this we are talking about grown-up children, not about the young children, but grown-up ones. When the father gets very old and when he wants some help from the children and is expecting from them, and you can put them immediately into one of these four columns, which column he belongs to. So this third one is that one which, if you tell them, after a while he will say, first day I'll say I've forgotten to do this, second day he will say something else, and like this eventually he will do it. That is the third category. And the fourth one, it says here that akarto uccharidam pitu. The fourth one he says is uccharidam. Uccharidam means stool which comes out from the body. What is that fourth one? He will never do anything. Even if you tell him to do, he won't listen. Majority belongs to this uccharidam category in this world today. But that is acceptable now, because in the modern society all these things have no value, because the whole society is set up in such a way that you get old, you move into the old age home. You get young, you go and get your work and job and get your mortgage and go along with it. And say, that's it. Old man, say goodbye. Old man can go his way. And so this is how the system, but this is not reference to that society. This is reference to the society in the Vedic system. When they expected certain relationships to survive long enough in lifetime, not for a few years. So that is, it has a different purpose and it has a different reasons also. Iti pramadita puru pratyagrihna jaram pitru sovidadvaisa kaman yadava jugushayanrupa sapta dipavadi sammek pitruvel palayan praja yato abajosham vishayan jujushay vyahadendriyam devayan nipinudinam manovagdeha vastubi prayasa paramam pridim uvaha prayasiraham ayajad jetnyavusham kradubir bhuri dakshinaihi sarvadevamayam devam sarvavedamayam harim yasmin nidam vidam yomni vajaladavili naneva bhadina bhadi sapnamaya manoradham tameva krivinyasya vasudevam guhashayam narayanamaniyamsam nirashiyaya jal prabham evam varsha sahasrani manashashtair manasugham vidhan obinadruptil sarvabhavamakkadindriyaihi. So Puru accepted all this, and in this chapter Puru has finished this here, and in the next chapter what is happening is how detachment came to Yayati. That is the next chapter. You see, I was mentioning this before, that in this dynasty of these kings, Yayati is another example like our Pururavas. Pururavas sang that song at the end. He said that, what is the use of this sense gratification in this world? He came to his senses at one point in time, after long, long, long time of association with Urvashi. Urvashi taught him the lesson that don't get after me, you're not going, you're going to lose everything at the end. And by the time his intelligence became a little bit clear, it got very late. But then he comes down from the heavenly planets and told everyone that make your association good. Associate with people who are interested in spiritual life. Otherwise your whole life is lost. This was the message from Pururavas to all his people who rule. And Krishna also mentioned this in the form of Failagidam in the Bhagavadam later. So like that Pururavas, this Yayati is now coming to his senses. Because he started thinking, what a nonsense I have been doing. What did I do? I took the youth of my own son. Why? I want to enjoy with his mother. This was my desire, isn't it? So what he wanted to do, he wanted to enjoy with Devayani for a long time. So what did he do? He took this youth of Puru and wanted to give up that association and wanted to enjoy the life with Devayani. So that is what is coming in the next chapter. Shri Shuka Vajam. This is the way Yayadi was feeling about detachment. Shri Shuka Vajam Saitamajan Kaman Sainovan Nam Alpana Budhva Priya Yenurvino Kada Medama Gaidam Shuru Barga Vimum Kada Adamida Madhirajambhuvi Dhira Yasyani Shojandi Vani Gramani Vasinam Vastamego Vani Kanjal Vijinyan Brahmalpana Radarshubu Bepadidam Sogarma Vashagalpajam Vashagamajam Tasyamudharanomayam Vastagami Vijindayan Vedatavutamudritya Vishanagrena Rothasi Sotiri Gubal Sushoni Tameva Jagamegila Tayavudam Samudisha Bakhyo Jagandagaminim Pivanam Smashavulam Prashtam Midhuam Sayabagovidam Saga Sa Ego Jushastasam Bakhvinam Radivartana Reme Kamagrahagrastam Atmanam Navabudyadam Tameva Prashtanamaya Ramamanam Janaya Viloke Gubasam Vigna Namashel Vastagarmadal Tam Burkhadam Sandrubam Kaminam Chanasauhadam Swaminam Dukhidayayam Sobijani Vrastainam Kravanastam Rasadidam Kurvinnada Vijagaram Ashak Nol Padisandhidam Tasya Astata Dijakashil Dajaswami Chinadrusha Lambandam Rushayam Huya Sandhadirtha Yogavil Sambandrushana Sobi Ajayaku Viladhaya Kalambukhidam Badre Kamir Nadya Vidushari Tadaham Kravana Subhru Bhavatya Premayandrida Atmanam Navijanami Mohidastavamaya Yel Pradivyam Vrihiyavam Hiranyam Vashavastriya Nadushyantimana Pradim Pumsa Kamahadasyade Najadu Gamagamanam, Ubogena Shamidi, Harusha Krishna Vatmeva, Puyameva, Pivartade, Yadana Gurde Pavam, Sarabode Shamangalam, Samadrstes to Abumsa, Sarvasomayadisham, Yadustaya, Dumadirbi, Jirito, Jiriado, Yana Jiriade, Tam Trishnam Dukanivaham, Sharvagamo, Dudam Tijil, Matra, Sostra, Dukitrava, Navi Tasano Pavil, Belava, Indriagramo, Idwam Swapikar Shadim. So, Yayadi at some point in his life, after some time, came to his senses exactly like Pururavas. But Yayadi explained his detachment in a different way. One day, he called Devayani and told her a story. The story was his own story, but spoken in a different way. What he said to her was, there was a male goat once, and this male goat was wandering around all over, looking for somebody to associate with from the opposite side. Opposite sex. So the male goat, while wandering around, he saw a female goat lying in a well. And when he saw the female goat, he got so agitated in his mind. He thought, somehow I should help this female goat to come out of the well. So with his hands and legs, he started scratching the wall of the well, so that eventually the female goat could come out from that. So when the female goat came out, they started enjoying together. But at the same time, the female goat got him into problems later. So the female goat later on put so many demands on the male goat. But with the desire to satisfy his own senses, the male goat accepted every condition what was offered to him by the female goat and enjoyed his life with her. After some time, what has happened was that this story kept on going like this. The children were born from this relationship, everything. Devayani was listening to all this story. Devayani asked straight away to him, why are you saying all these things in this way? Is it not our own story? He said. Yayadi didn't want to say any more further. Yayadi said to Devayani, this is enough for me. Now, I am going to the forest, he said. I don't want to have anything to do with this world. It is Ayadis. In other words, this is a kind of renunciation necessary, and only at that point one can cultivate spiritual life in its proper way. Because otherwise, when we have so much other material attachment in this world, the other attachment will constantly pull you back into material life. Material consciousness will be there. No matter how hard one try in this material world, the material desires are so powerful. That is what Yayati's instructions here. And these instructions are taken very seriously, because Yayati says in one verse here,
Matra susra duhitrava navivikasano bhavel balavan indriya gramo vidvam samabhigarshadim.
If you read that verse, you will see there that one who wants to control his senses, how powerful senses are. Yayadi wanted to say to us that even with one's own mother, one's own sister, one should not associate with them in a lonely place, alone, without others' presence there. Because if you associate, balavan indriya gramam, senses are so powerful. Even great learned people, they get fallen by that. They get attracted by this. Vidhu amsavigarushadim.
Matra susra duhitravam. Navivittasana omavel. Balavanindri gramo. Vidhu amsavigarushadim.
These verses are used in the Gurukulam while teaching brahmacharis. In the early days in brahmachari ashram, all these things are spoken at different instances in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada Maharaj's instruction, Yadi's instruction, all these instructions. Just to, if you get this point across to their mind, that what kind of association one should maintain with male with the female and female with the male, and what possibilities are there to fall down easily, get attracted by that, and how to protect them from that situation. These verses from the Bhagavatam are taught very seriously.
Balavan indriya gramam,
that if you want to control your senses, one who wants to be a powerful person, vidhu amsamabhigarshadi, in senses are so powerful that even very, very learned people can get victimized by the senses. That is what it's saying.
Purnam varsha sahasram me vishayan sevado sagral tadha bijanu samanam trishna teshu prajayade tasma dedamaham tetva brahmanyadhayamanasam nurdvando nirahangaras charishyami mrgai saham drishtam shudamasal budhvananu dhyayena samvishal samsanim jatmanasham jatatra vidvan samalmad ittetva nahusho jayam tadiyam puravevaya dutvam swam jarasam tasma dada devigadas praham dishidaksh पूर्वस्यां द्रुह्यं दक्षिणदो यदुं प्रदीच्यां तुर्वसुं चक्रे उदीच्यामनिमीश्वरं भूमण्डलस्य सर्वस्य पूर्वमर्हत्तमं विशाम् अभिषिच्याग्रजां स्तस्य वशे स्थाप्यवनं ययौ आसेविदं वर्षवोगन् षड्वर्गं शयेषु सा क्षणेन उजयनीडं जातवक्षमिव द्विजाम्.
So it was then that Puru became the emperor of the planet, and He handed over to his different brothers, because he is the emperor. So he appointed Dakshinapurvasyam Druhyum. Druhi was given the southern side, southeastern side. Dakshinado Yadum, Yadu was given the southern side. Pradichyam Durvasum, Turvasu was given the western side. Like that, all over them given the Bhumandalasya Sarvasya Purum Arhatamam Visham Abhishichyagrayam Stasyavashestapyavanam Yayom. And Anidruhi was given the northern side. Asevidam Varshavogan Shadvargam Vishayeshu Sa Kshanenu Ujaniram Jadavakshami Vadvajam. Afterwards he came to his, by now he came to his senses that Yayadi came to, wanted to take over, take handed over back his youth back to Puru again. Because it was Puru's, because Yayadi has come to his senses, and now it says here, the word Jadabakshamiva Dvija, that is the way Shishugan says. Why Jadabakshamiva Dvija? Means Jadabaksha means the two wings were born, it says. Dvija has got these two swing, the two wings are born for him. What are those two wings? It doesn't say that clearly. The scholars say that those two wings are known as renunciation and knowledge. So when these two wings are born, then he could fly in spiritual life without being obstructed by anybody. So, in other words, Srimad Bhagavatam is, every stage is pointing out to one thing. Unless and until one develops these two things, renunciation and knowledge. Jnana vairagya yukteya pashyandi atmani chalpmanam bhaktya shudagrahidaya. First canto. Vedavyasa Maharshi says that jnana vairagya yukteya, with jnanam and vairagyam, these things can be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood when those two things are with you. That is the essential thing. And when that was born like a bird who has got its two wings, when these two things have come for Yayadi, there was no problem after that. He flew off, went back to the spiritual world. That is important word to note there. Krishna mana samaveshyam. At least at that point, when Yayadi came to his senses, he started glorifying and worshipping Krishna from then on. And that with this Krishna's mercy, Krishna was going to appear in that family later on. But Krishna was kept in his mind at that time, and already Yayadi has given up his body in full memory of Krishna and went back to the spiritual world. It has to be, after all, who was going to appear in that dynasty later? Supreme Personality, Krishna Himself. So all the stories of these kings before is showing to us that how that particular race got sanctified by the presence of the Supreme Personality, which was to happen much later. As I mentioned before, just by the appearance of Prahlada, Trisaptavipida Puda, that 21 generations before and after, Prahlada has got liberated so many members of that dynasty. Similarly, the very appearance of Krishna was enough for all these kings to go back to the spiritual world. All this is, Sri Shukani is saying this just to show, to understand who is coming later in the 10th canto, the greatness of that personality. That is why he is saying all these things here. Otherwise, it is not so important. But just to give us a warning, that the personality who is appearing in the 10th canto is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And that is what He is driving us at. And Namastubhyam Bhagavade Vasudevaya Vedase Sarvabhudadivasaya Shandaya Brihade Namam Idi Srimad Bhagavade Mahapurane Namaskande Ekonavimshodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Namasankirtanam Govinda Govinda. So with that story, that story Yayati finishes there, and in the next chapter, which is the 20th chapter, is another great personality, who is that Dushyanta and his son Bharata. That is an important personality in the Lunar dynasty. We have to talk about that next Sunday, because if we start now, we won't finish it. We'll discuss that, and then after that we have got the story of his dynasty, and also another important personality, Randideva. Randideva, so all these are such powerful kings, but at the same time they all have got their own individual messages for us to learn from them. So many interesting things in the 9th canto. Different kings, and as I said in the beginning, that they all lived a full life materially. They were not renunciants from the beginning. They were not like great devotees or anything in the beginning. But after they have enjoyed their material life, at one point they all came to their senses. And from when they realized it, they were ready to leave the material world and go back to the spiritual world, which is different from our life. Our life, we never come to our senses. We think that material life is everything, and we completely get absorbed in that, and thinking that it will fulfill our life. And only when, at the last minute, when the doctors start pushing things into the body, at that time all the holy names start appearing from nowhere. Up to that point, no chanting. Chanting becomes very difficult, because get up is difficult in the morning, and then all other family commitments and all the bills to pay, this, that, and every other excuse will be there. But only in the last minute, when one realizes that all the bills have been paid now, all the credit cards have been all paid, And when the doctor starts saying you've got another few months to live or few days to live, and then when one starts seriously thinking about Krishna, that is what this is saying, that it is a bit too late at that time. Shishugan is always reminding us that if spiritual life is not taken seriously, and if one does not take to chanting Hare Krishna from early days itself, it can cause problems at a later date. And therefore, we are not like these kings. We should always remember that. We are not like these kings. These kings were had the good fortune of appearing, first of all, in the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the very fact that they have appeared in that dynasty, that mercy of Krishna has flown all the way right up to the beginning and to the very end of that dynasty. Because that is the Supreme Personality. That is why he appeared. And we discussed this. Why Krishna appeared in that dynasty? Because these were the personalities who followed the instructions of Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, as Manuandhana Adhipati. Their instructions were followed strictly. Because they followed them, Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the solar dynasty, and he appeared as Krishna in the lunar dynasty. That's all. They selected these two dynasties to appear only for one reason, that they executed the principles of spiritual life strictly according to the injunctions of the Vedic literature and the authorities of the Vedic tradition. So you can see here that the kings, one after the, they all have different qualities as well. Like when you go into the next one, Bharata Maharaj's story, that is another fascinating story. What kind of personality he was. Kshatriya king, but totally different from all these above. Then comes Randideva, again so different from any of them. So, but eventually they all go back to the spiritual world, and us, we stay back here. So, this chapter of the next chapter of the Bharata story, we will start next Sunday, because it's now I think 6:45, and if there is any questions or comments on what we spoke today.
You know, you mentioned about King
Puru. Puru, yes. Yeah,
the association of King.
Yes, yes.
So, how can you become a good association? How would you, what are the symptoms of good association?
What are the symptoms? Good association means association with those who are inclined in spiritual life. That is association. Inclined means not purely just because they are showing that they are all interested in spiritual life is not good enough. That is good, but at the same time, proper association is like-minded people. People who have got similar desire. That suppose if you understand that spiritual life is a valuable thing, and you have to accept things, what is favorable for spiritual life, and you have to reject what is not favorable for spiritual life. If you find people with that nature in them, that they are all the time discriminating things and trying to advance spiritually, always focused in the goal, which is going back to the spiritual world, then such association is valuable. Like Pururava's case, you can see, he noticed that he was associating with Urvashi. But prior to that, certainly he had association with people who encouraged him in sense gratification. So in other words, you can see from the life of these great personalities that there was always a desire to cult. One day or the other, they wanted to renounce things, renounce this material world in some form or the other. They did not want to continue that association with material world to such an extent. And when the real renunciation happens, when they renounced and went to the forest, there was no question of them falling down again. Why does one fall down in spiritual life? Why? Because prior to becoming mature in the consciousness, as far as renunciation is concerned, artificially if you take to renounce things, you will eventually come to the point that one day your mind will waver, or mind will move. At any point in time, the mind can take you down. It's not possible to prevent that. That is precisely the reason Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam, among all the things in this world to conquer, the most difficult thing is the mind. Durjayana maham mana, Krishna says. So from this you can see that this controlling the mind is not an easy thing. It has to be done in such a way that somehow or the other, by training, you can get to that stage where you will not fall from that again. And all these person, like Purudeva's hand, learned a very, very, very tough lesson, isn't it, with Urvashi. But when he realized this, he was not looking back again, thinking about Urvashi. When he came to his senses, he said, I have learned what I have to learn, though a bit late. So he gives that advice from that point of view. Same thing with Yayati also. Yayati is also saying that if I continue this process, I will destroy myself. He has come to that understanding. So, gone through Devayani, Sharmishta and everybody throughout the life, but later on came back to his own understanding that I have to give up this sense enjoyment, otherwise I will miss my opportunity of going back to the spiritual world. So coming to this conclusion strongly, day by day, is the most important thing in life. And that is where association helps. If you get association with people who have that similar desire to come out of the material life, material enjoyment, they can help you in your association. Otherwise, it will not help very much. Association with, if you remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in one instance that, what is that, where he says that, in fact, all of Bhagavadam, this is the only one point which has not been missed out anywhere. Vishayandhyayadaschittam vishayeshu vishajyade maamanuspradamaschittam mayeva praviliyade. Krishna said to Uddhava, what did he say? Vishayandhyayadaschittam. If your mind is absorbed in sense gratification, vishayeshu vishajyade, that it will become poison one after the other. The mind will get poisoned by vishayam. And maamanusparamaschittam, Uddhava asked, if I remember you all the time, then Krishna says, mayeva praviliyade, you will get absorbed in me. Ultimately, in other words, this mind, thing called mind, if it is given the proper engagement, then that mind can take you out of this material world, back to the spiritual world. Mind is the thing what is forcing us to stay here. When it is strongly anchored to the material enjoyment, then no matter how much you struggle here, at the end, you are pulled back all the time by the strong relationship with the material life. So, Krishna says that, and sandarshanam vishayinam atha yoshidanja ha handa handa vishavakshanade pyasadhum, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that sandarshanam vishayinam atha yoshidanja, association with people who are vishayis. Vishayis means those who talk about the sex enjoyment all the time. Those who are engaged in sex enjoyment, Mahaprabhu says, is not so dangerous as those who are talking about it, because they are always relishing these pastimes, their pastimes. Sandarshanam vishayinam atha yoshidam cha ha handa handa vishabhakshanado pyasadhu. It is like vishabhakshanam, he says, like poisonous food. So you will notice that in the case of all these great personalities, great sannyasis, like Mahaprabhu and others, they have exhibited their pastimes in such a way so the world can realize how important it is to give up the association with those who are addicted to sense enjoyment. So from there, they have taken us to this understanding that association with the right people will take you further in spiritual life. If you associate with the wrong people, it will also drag you down. As far as these stories are spoken here to tell us that normally what happens is, when born in a royal family and with a lot of material opulences and facilities to enjoy material life, generally leads into these kind of situations. So strictly speaking, it is difficult to say what kind of situation was. There were sages living those days also, in Yayadi's times also. There were great sages who were practicing spiritual life. But these Kshatriya kings, they had this one idea in their mind. The very Kshatriya nature means what? Rajogunam is very strongly there in their consciousness. So when one wants to advance spiritually, the lower modes of nature, one has to come out first. Only then the higher knowledge will enter into their head. That is why it's mentioned again that Kshatriya kings, when they give up something, it is really giving up. Not like our giving up. We have nothing much to give up either, so it doesn't matter. But they had so much to give up, but they were not able to give up because of the attachment for sense enjoyment. Now to say that they had an opportunity to take to it if they wanted, because there were great sages who practiced spiritual life and instructions were available also for them. But the kings chose the path of enjoyment and came to their realization that to give up is important, which happens much later in life, not in the early days itself. You can see this from Yadu's case. Yadu gave up in the early days itself, although he didn't have to be instructed anything. As far as these stories are spoken here to tell us that normally what happens is when born in a royal family and with a lot of material opulences and facilities to enjoy material life generally leads into these kind of situations. So strictly speaking, it is difficult to say what kind of situation was. There were sages living those days also, in Yayadi's times also. There were great sages who were practicing spiritual life. But these Kshatriya kings, they had this one idea in their mind. The very Kshatriya nature means what? Rajogunam is very strongly there in their consciousness. So when one wants to advance spiritually, the lower modes of nature, one has to come out first. Only then the higher knowledge will enter into their head. That is why it's mentioned again that Kshatriya kings, when they give up something, it is really giving up. Not like our giving up. We have nothing much to give up either, so it doesn't matter. But they had so much to give up, but they were not able to give up because of the attachment for sense enjoyment. Now to say that they had an opportunity to take to it if they wanted, because there were great sages who practiced spiritual life and instructions were available also for them. But the kings chose the path of enjoyment and came to their realization that to give up is important, which happens much later in life, not in the early days itself. You can see this from Yadu's case. Yadu gave up in the early days itself, although he didn't have to be instructed anything. He was intelligent enough to sense this in advance and act accordingly. Whereas Puru did not think like that. Puru thought, I have to fulfill my commitment to my father. And so many others. Yayadi also thought, Yayadi was